Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. It's Cyhawk Week. Welcome in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Monday here in Eastern Iowa, being presented by Randy's Flooring. You can check them out in Cedar Rapids or in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. They've been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. And for over 40 years, Iowa and Iowa State have been playing football. This is the 43rd meeting, correct, since the resumption of the series in the late 70s. I'll have to double-check my work on that one. Iowa and Iowa State will be getting ready for the Cyhawk Showdown all week long here on the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Coming up today, John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, with us in his usual allotted time slot of 4:30, coming up at the bottom of the hour. Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, set to join us in the 5 o'clock hour, as well as we look ahead to this Saturday in Ames, and briefly, just what's the biblical story? Is it Lot and his wife? Who's not supposed to look back over their shoulder, or they turn into a pillar of salt? I'm not encouraging anybody to look back on Saturday's Iowa-Rutgers game. One viewing is enough. Rutgers, about as bad as advertised. Iowa defense, good. Iowa offense showed up. Not bad. The under, by the way, was the way to go on that game. We'll even work in some baseball discussion for you here as well. I haven't completely given up on the 2019 season, even though the injuries continue to mount for the Chicago Cubs. And oh yeah, by the way, NFL, week one action almost in the books. We've got two games coming up for you tonight, and that's important to mention here because, Alex, technically, people have not missed the boat on their opportunity to win $500 from Imon Communications. You just have a very shallow pool of teams in which you can choose from in week one for the knockout pool. But if you head to kgymradio.com, you can get details on how to get signed up and registered for the knockout pool. Unfortunately, at this point, because you do need to start in week one, so if you haven't signed up yet, you're down to only four teams. So you can fire the Saints bullet tonight if you want. They are a 7-point favorite over J.J. Watt and the Houston Texans. Or you can roll the dice and try to figure out who's going to win between Oakland and Denver. And who knows? Maybe T.J. Hockenson's record won't stand for that. I don't think Noah Fant is going to put up 100 and some yards of receiving tonight, but I didn't think T.J. Hockenson would yesterday as well. But we have to start with the natural issue here. How long have we worked together?
Have we worked together?
As producer and as co-host.
So I've been at KGYM for a little over 4 years, and the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn has been on the air for just over two.
Never have I ever been involved in an argument as heated with Alex as 15 minutes ago, as we almost, I don't want to say we almost came to blows, but voices escalated, voices were raised to the point where people who were in the cubicle down the hall had to come into the office and make sure that everything was okay. We were arguing about the importance of the guest picker at College Game Day.
I saw your fist clench, too.
I need to see the doctor about the high blood pressure. It's not good. People are losing their minds over College Game Day coming to Ames this weekend for Iowa and Iowa State, and I think I'm the only person in the state of Iowa who could not care less about College Day. And so I'm like, who cares? And I'm shouting it as loud as I can. Who cares? A lot of people. The text line is blowing up. Those guys, Scott and Mark, they didn't know how to handle that. 35, 40, you couldn't keep up with it. This person, that person. My only wish here, and Iowa State has been begging for game day for a long time. Iowa had it. When's the last time the Hawkeyes had it? 2009? 2007? Something like that. It's been a long time. It's a TV show. My only wish here, and we are 6 days out from the broadcast, and I think there's no hope of possibly achieving this, is I just don't want the state of Iowa to be portrayed on the national scene as a bunch of overweight, drunken rubes. And I think that ship has already sailed. Because we're talking about, oh, it's got to be the Bush Light guy. Or it's got to be this journeyman quarterback that only people in the state of Iowa will even be cognizant of. It doesn't matter. There's not a celebrity big enough in the state of Iowa to rival the first 2 weeks of college game day.
Matthew McConaughey.
You take your Jason Momoa. Most people don't even know who that is. It's the guy, he's an actor, played Aquaman, has ties to the state of Iowa. Tom Arnold? No. It's going to be one of two people. And I'm going to tell you right now, definitively, and if I could go to the Elite Sports Book in Riverside, sponsor plug, and wager on this, I would do it right now. It's going to be one of these two people. Mark my word, I'm never wrong. Never wrong. Should work for the National Weather Service in Alabama. That's how accurate I am. It's going to be either Nick Nurse or it's going to be Seth Rollins. There are nobody else.
I think Nick Nurse would be a great selection.
Why? Because ESPN loves the NBA and ESPN is in bed now with Vince McMahon and World Wrestling Entertainment. So there you go.
Oh, well, okay. So there's
Seth Rollins,
logic behind
Seth
this.
Rollins, Davenport native, Nick Nurse, Carroll native, NBA champion head coach. Really could not care less. And yet here I am coming. You've won me over. You've converted me to the flock. I'm opening the program. It's 4:10.
Sometimes a good fight in the office can help iron things out.
People coming down the hall, is everything okay in here? Well, we broke decorum in the office. We raised voices. It happens from time to time. My previous co-host, plenty of times. First time working with you in how many, what'd you say, 4 years, 6 years,
five years?
Four plus. Wow. 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use that to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. It's the biggest. There are 52 weeks, and I feel like I'm teaching my three-year-old son a lesson here about the calendar. There are 52 weeks in the calendar. None more important in this little square of land on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids than this week in particular. And we're talking about who's going to be the guest picker on College Game Day.
Well, no, I think this is, bear with me here, Todd. I just think it's at least a little bit of a step up from the argument of who's more responsible for game day going to Ames.
Maryland, thank you. Game, set, match. Iowa State fans, Iowa, shut the hell up. Neither one of you had anything to do with game day coming to Ames. Maryland, I want every single one of you to sit down and write a thank you note to Mike Loxley. Also, the fact that there were no other compelling games. There's only one, I believe, only one showdown between top 25 teams, right? Syracuse and Clemson. Is that this week?
Yes.
I was having a hard time.
Absolutely shellacked by Maryland, which is what you're referring to.
I was having a hard time coming up with games even for this week's pick six, which we will do on Friday. Congratulations to Scott Unash, who had a fantastic week going 5-1. He's 9-3 on the year. If he wanted to put his money where his mouth is, he would have a lot more money than mouth at this point. I would like to point out that I'm right behind him at 8-4. That is what they call profitable in terms of gambling. Everybody else, you're pushing your money around at this point.
Yeah, I'm not having a great start to the season.
You and Dave are cinder blocks around my neck at this point. I'm thinking about, like,
does your back hurt from carrying the team?
Sometimes
at this point?
I wish, maybe I am the commissioner. Maybe I put in a new rule that, much like euchre, you can call it on your. I'm going alone. You guys aren't making picks this week. That's the week that I would go 1-5. 319-366-1600. Is it? And I understand that game day is a big deal to the truly hardcore fans. Am I having a hard time getting a grasp on this week because Iowa State didn't play a game last weekend? Is that sort of a wet blanket here? Because Iowa played Rutgers, which is one of the worst teams in the Big Ten, and so there's no buzz or bump coming off of Iowa's game, and Iowa State didn't even play a game, and the last time they did play a game, it took two overtime periods to beat an FCS opponent. This is both simultaneously the highest anticipated Cy-Hawk game in recent memory, and one that doesn't really seem, the buzz isn't really about the game here. It's about the trappings surrounding the game at this point. It's really interesting. If you stand back and look at it from that point, this is the most anticipated meeting between these two teams in 40 plus years. And yet it doesn't really feel that way because all anybody's talking about is a TV show.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at what are we projecting about the game itself? Like, how are you supposed to look at this and say definitively, you know what, I feel like this game is going to look this way. The last time we saw Iowa State, yeah, they needed two overtimes to beat UNI, and they didn't complete a pass more than 10 yards down the field the entire game. And the last time we saw Iowa, they were steamrolling a bad Rutgers team.
You got your wish. You got to see Art Sitkowski in Iowa City.
We saw Art Sitkowski.
He did Art Sitkowski things.
He lived up to
a couple interceptions.
Or lived down to the billing, whichever way you want to look at it. So
McLean Stevenson or McLean Carter, whatever his name is, he was awful. And then Sitkowski comes in and just starts slinging the ball. The star of the game was Rutgers punter, and he doesn't even get Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Week honors this week.
He deserved every bit of that.
You know,
every bit of winning
it.
And he didn't. He got robbed. And yes, it was three overtime.
We have a giant trophy in our office that belongs. It's supposed to go to the winner of the KGAN-KGYM bracket mania every year with the NCAA tournament. Would it be against NCAA regulations to take that trophy, put his name on it? He obviously made such a huge impact on me that I don't even recall his name, and send it to Piscataway. You are robbed by the Big Ten. It was clearly the best special teams performance of the week. Here's a giant gaudy trophy.
No, I don't think it's...
Because quite frankly, we're all getting tired of it taking up space in our office.
His name's Adam Corsack, and since there's no money involved, you're good. Should we do that? And we can send Barry Alvarez his get-well card as well.
Hopefully that thing got recycled. I would hate to think of that taking up space in a local landfill. I'm nothing if not green in my thinking. 319-366-1600. Alex and I nearly had it out about 35 minutes ago over the importance or lack of importance in the game day guest picker. You can't, and here's the thing. Again, my only wish for this week is that we do not come off to the rest of the United States, the coasts, if you will, looking like straw-chewing hee-haw characters with a Bush Light drinking problem, and yet both fan bases seem hell-bent on making that the perception of this state. So I already feel like I'm behind the eight ball here. And you want to try to figure out this state's version. You want to talk about a depressing conversation to have. Trying to figure out this state's version of Matthew McConaughey. I guess it would be Ashton Kutcher, who is a global superstar. The problem there is Iowa State fans are going to whine because he has close ties to Iowa. I got nothing for you here. Again, my money, if you could bet on these things, ESPN will go the NBA route with Nick Nurse, or they will go WWE with Seth Rollins. And everybody else is a non-starter.
Some people have suggested Kurt Warner, but he has a contract with the NFL
he
Network.
He doesn't work for you. Exactly. There would be a conflict of interest there.
Yes. And then some of the other suggestions like Dallas Clark and Ashton Kutcher and Tom Arnold, there are too many. And Zach Johnson. too many people know their allegiances to the University of Iowa for that to happen, in my opinion.
There has been a selection made. A guest picker has already weighed in this week. The name, I believe, is Camara. Is that the name of the baby rhinoceros at the Blank Park Zoo in Des Moines has chosen Iowa State as the winner of this week's football game. So, Hawkeye fans, if you're holding on to tickets, and they are going for like $195 on the secondary market right now, a baby rhinoceros says Iowa State's going to win the game, you may as well sell your tickets and not make the trip to Ames. I'm just going to put that out there right now. When has an animal ever been wrong making picks? That's so, God as my witness, the only way that the state will come off looking worse than it probably will Saturday at game day is if they have a cow pooping on a square to make the pick. That's the only way. Oh. That's the only way day is going to be more green acres than I'm picturing. Because right now, all I'm picturing in my mind is just a slew of signs saying "actually helping farmers," and nobody else in America even knowing what that means. And just this character from Hee-Haw, and there's Buck Owens over there sitting on a hay bale, and everybody's like, yep, that's exactly how I picture the state of Iowa. But this is what Ames has been asking for this for a long time. They finally got it. It's Iowa State. Iowa State fans don't want to give Iowa any credit for being part of the reason the game and location was chosen. Iowa fans want to take all the credit. Again, Maryland. It's not Iowa. It's not Iowa State. This was Maryland embarrassing Syracuse. We'll get to the rest of the weekend in the Big Ten as well, because maybe you haven't heard yet. And if you haven't, I delight in telling you this. Nebraska lost to Colorado in spectacular fashion. And it just so happened that I was in a public place as this all went down. And I was with my wife and my sister-in-law and her husband, their two kids, and my in-laws. For some godforsaken reason, they all decided that they were going to be at my house on Saturday when I got back from Iowa Rutgers. We went out for dinner in true Cedar Rapids fashion. We went to a chain restaurant, but I get a get-out-of-jail-free card on that. We had three children under the age of 10. And the game is on a couple of the TVs. And I've never before in my life seen what happened. Nebraska, they missed the field goal, right?
Correct.
They missed the field goal. And out of all of the people in the restaurant, the only person who had a vocal reaction, who cheered, and not just let out like a gasp or a yelp, literally cheered and then felt mortified, was my wife. She was so happy that Nebraska lost, which isn't going to sit well because one of her good friends is a Nebraska fan.
But let out a big cheer, if that makes her feel any better.
Everybody else was just sort of digesting it, stupefied, and my wife almost jumped up out of her seat.
I thought you were going to say your son.
No, he could not care less. We were watching the NFL yesterday because I realized that DirecTV, I literally had forgotten about this. They were so desperate to get my business back after cutting ties with them, trying to stream for a couple months, and then we just didn't like the experience. They were so desperate to get me back, they threw in Sunday Ticket for free this year. By the way, BJ and Marion inviting himself over to my house when I tweeted that out. So I'm flipping around from game to game yesterday, and my son wanders into the room because he's being abandoned because his dad is being lazy watching football on the couch and goes, my son turned 3 in July. You watching the Hawkeyes? I said, no. This team is the Titans, and this team is the Browns. And he repeated the team names, and I'm thinking, okay, here we go. We're going down a road here, because why am I watching? Well, I tied my fantasy fortunes to Baker Mayfield this year.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you're off to about as good of a start as I am.
We will get to the NFL coming up in hours 2 and 3, because to do anything other than Iowa State here, at least in the first 45 minutes, would be a disservice. But there's plenty to... There's plenty to pick apart when it comes to week one of the NFL, including Antonio Brown.
The fix was in, Todd.
I had Kyle check the odds on New England and the Super Bowl today, and it's not even worth putting money on at this point. Their four receivers are going to be in no particular order: Josh Gordon, Antonio Brown, Julian Edelman, and Philip Dorsett. They have a running game. They have got a tremendous offensive line. They have an ageless quarterback in the 68-year-old Tom Brady, and they've got a decent defense. Who's beating the Patriots this year? We'll get to that and more. 319-366-1600. Again, 423 on a Monday. There is baseball to be played tonight at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The Cedar Rapids Colonels walking off the Clinton Lumber Kings in the ninth inning last night. It was a do-or-die game to Western Division Finals. Colonels forcing a decisive game three today. 6:35 first pitch tonight. Gates about to open in an hour. Plenty of good seats available. Colonels lose tonight, their season is over. If they win tonight, they will take on the South Bend Cubs in the Midwest League Championship Series, which is exciting to a lot of Cubs fans here in Eastern Iowa, because South Bend did not come to Cedar Rapids this year during the regular season. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Sunday and Monday, if necessary. Saturday, unfortunately, most of the state, Eastern Iowa, Central Iowa, Western Iowa, the entire state's minds will be preoccupied with something else. But if it gets to that point, that's the schedule as it lays out for the Midwest League Championship Series. So fingers crossed. And all I will say for the Colonels is, at this point in time, they don't have a KGYM on-air personality ready to jinx them and cost them a Midwest League Championship, as happened the last time that they did get to the championship. They haven't gotten there yet, but if they do, there's no one affiliated with the station who's going to stand on the field talking about ring sizes. Mm. I think Jake
Maurer. Still remember that, don't you?
Jake Maurer is still a little sore about that, I think. 319-366-1600. The guest picker on Saturday is going to be either Nick Nurse or Seth Rollins. It's not going to be anybody else. Please stop with your suggestions. Although I did like somebody mentioning a glass of Ames tap water. I don't know how you would make the selection with the tap water. The game day crew is going to love the water quality this weekend. We got more to get to. Again, a Monday edition of the program being presented by Randy's Flooring. They are a proud partner of the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital. You can visit their website, randysflooring.com, to find out how select purchases directly benefit the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital. We got a lot more to get to today. Got a poll question for you today at kgymradio.com as well. Is the right team favored in Ames this weekend? The Hawkeye is now a 2-point favorite, according to our friends at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. And I bring this up because, Alex, you are going. We're watching the game in different places because we had a fight earlier in the office about who the guest picker is going to be.
So I said,
I'm going to Ames. I'm covering the game. I don't want you anywhere near me. You are going to be in Riverside hanging out at the Elite Sportsbook.
I am.
I think I would actually rather be in Riverside at the Elite Sportsbook than anywhere near the circus of hee-haw walk-ons that will be. And I say that both fan bases. If you think I'm talking about Iowa State fans alone, then that's your own bias. I'm just saying that everybody is hell-bent on presenting this state as a bunch of Bush Light guzzling yahoos, and I'm not here for it. I'm out on this. but I will be there wading through the sea of humanity. There is nothing like being at a Cy-Hawk game, whether it's in Ames or Iowa City, and trying to navigate your way around. And it's just because people come for the party. They don't have tickets. They just come, they hang out, they drink, and they drink, and they drink, and it just becomes a giant mess. I used to think it was a ton of fun. Now I'm almost 40 years old. I'm just annoyed by the whole thing. But it's going to be Nick Nurse or it's going to be Seth Rollins. Get your Aquaman out of here. Get Shawn Johnson out of here. Come at me with any of your other suggestions, because there are none. We have no Matthew McConaughey. Seth Rollins, see, we do. It's Ashton Kutcher. Okay, I want to put that out there, and I did earlier. But because he's viewed as an Iowa guy, Iowa State, I think Jamie Pollard was tweeting about this. I believe there's some input from the host on who the picker is.
Right.
So they're not signing off on anybody with any ties to Iowa. I can't see it's not Dan Gable. He wouldn't make a pick. And if he did, he would pick Iowa. And so that ain't going to fly.
Like ESPN College Game Day could perceivably reach out to Dan Gable, and then Dan Gable say, you know what, I'm not going to be able to pick the game. And then they say, okay, next. That's I'm not a psychic, but that's how I'm guessing that conversation would go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the guest picker, the Butter Cow from the Iowa State Fair. We've had her in storage ever since the fair ended in August. Just going to gradually warm the temperature up in whatever puddle Iowa or Iowa State that the butter pools in is the pick. I don't know. The baby rhino says Iowa State, so you may not even bother going to the game this weekend. Let's go to the phone lines, 319-366-1600. We'll squeeze Rob in Center Point in. Rob, what's up?
I know you're done with this, but I just had to do it because it's pure Iowa. You get a bushel of shelled corn with a Cyclone logo on it. You get a bushel of shelled corn with a Hawkeye logo on it. And you get a beef cow, and you put it between them and let the beef cow pick.
Well, Rob, I don't think that's any worse than what ESPN will probably come up with. Will the guest picker be wearing some sort of plaid? My guess is yes. Straw hat, maybe? 319-366-1600, 431. Kyle, you want to do this now or you want to do it on the other side of the break?
We'll go ahead and do this right now.
Kyle's going to bring you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can check him out in Iowa City at 420th Street or the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street. Hee-haw!
Iowa beat Rutgers on Saturday, 30-0, holding an improved Rutgers offense to just 125 total yards and 5 first downs on the day. Nate Stanley threw for 236 yards, 3 touchdowns and no picks, and Amir Smith-Marset had a career day on the receiving end with 113 yards and 2 touchdowns. Mekhi Sargent, Torin Young, and freshman Tyler Goodson all surpassed 50 yards rushing. The Hawkeyes are now ranked 19th in this week's AP poll, but rankings go out the window this week as we prepare for what could be safely referred to as the most anticipated Cy-Hawk game ever. ESPN's College Game Day will be on the Iowa State campus for this one, also for the first time ever. And as of right now, the Hawkeyes are a 2-point favorite for the 3 o'clock kickoff. There's a line of thinking I ran into during fantasy draft prep that tight ends never contribute as rookies. That's why even though former Hawkeye tight end TJ Hawkinson was selected by the Lions 8th overall, you could have gotten him deep into your drafts, and yesterday he made you look pretty smart. He hauled in 6 catches for 131 yards and a touchdown, 25.1 in PPR scoring, setting the NFL record for most receiving yards by a tight end in his NFL debut. The Colonels had a handful of walk-off victories to end the regular season, so maybe it was all to prepare them for the walk-off victory they needed last night that extended their playoff lives. The last 5 home victories have each been on walk-off singles, including Deshaun Kersey's RBI to steal Game 2 3-2, and that creates a deciding Game 3 tonight here in Cedar Rapids. First pitch is set for 6:30, and the winner moves on to the Midwest League Championship. Tonight, right after the show, we'll have the Cyclone Sideline Coaches Show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and then around 8:45 on all KGYM frequencies, it'll be Monday Night Football featuring Noah Fant and the Broncos taking on the Raiders.
Adam the Mason on the text line says, it's Iowa, it would be a pig guest picker, not a cow. And there you have it. We will let Kyle get John Walters on the phone. We will talk actual X's and O's football, because some people are actually more interested in the game than the sideshow surrounding the game. The voice of the Cyclones joins us next.
I'm Julie, CEO here at KGYM. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. and the leading cause among young people. It affects young, old, men, women, veterans, farmers, the LGBTQ community, athletes, and everyone who loves those people. Suicide is preventable. We want to encourage you to listen tomorrow, which is Global Suicide Awareness Day, when we spend time talking with some mental health professionals throughout the day. We're going to focus on giving basic information, much like you learned basic first aid or CPR. We thank our friends at Community Crisis Services and Food Bank for their daily commitment to supporting people in need and for helping to educate us tomorrow. Please join us. We're a little nervous because we're usually talking sports, but we're absolutely committed to learning more so that we can all be ready to do our part to prevent suicide. We'd be grateful for any time you can spend with us tomorrow on the radio or on our social media. And we want you to take care of yourself, so we get it if you can't listen. If you need to talk, help is available by text or phone, 855-325-4296.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh. For every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Member FDIC.
Every journey starts with a single step. On your retirement journey, make sure your first step is finding Medicare Supplement Insurance with Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. We want you to find answers to all your questions about Medicare. Go to wellmark.com/Medicare today and get your free Medicare Matters guide, or find a local expert to talk to. Then, let the journey begin. Wellmark. Must reside in the service area of the plan. Wellmark Medicare Supplement Insurance plans are not connected with or endorsed by any government agency.
Come to Menards for big savings on everything to give your bath a stylish new look. Add contemporary elegance with a 36-inch wide Stratton vanity by Magic Woods Elements with a gray finish, just $228.99. The 60-inch wide Geneva vanity with a high gloss gray or white finish is only $516.99. Save on Magic Woods bath vanities and more. Price is good through September 21st. Now during Menards Fall Catalog Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
C-O-A-C-H. Five letters synonymous with leadership and encouragement. But even more about your success in life. Hear from the coach right here on the Cyclone Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock here on the gym, 1600 AM, KGYM.
.436, we welcome you back in a Monday edition of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until 7 o'clock tonight. Plenty more to come, including reaction to week one of the National Football League, some baseball discussion squeezed in as well as the Colonels look to advance to the Midwest League Championship Series tonight. And yeah, we will get back to Iowa and Iowa State as well. As a matter of fact, Kyle is informing me. It's what a good producer does. He's informing me we're actually back to Iowa, Iowa State right now because we do have John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, with us. His weekly appearance sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship Partner. And John, I don't know about you, but I kind of want to just hit the fast-forward button on the DVR here until 3 o'clock on Saturday. Or let's just play the game already, right?
Yeah, or at least till 8 o'clock on Saturday when game day starts. It's going to be a lot of excitement and build up until that point, but you're right. It's always a lot of extra anxious moments on a rivalry week, and especially from an Iowa State perspective, having not played, you know, this past weekend, it's a lot of waiting for this game. So it'll be exciting. I can't wait, but I got to take advantage of the days between now and then and make sure to get a few things done too.
How much is the announcement that, College Game Day is coming to Ames sort of even added to the excitement of this game, even though it didn't seem like there could have been much more added excitement coming into the year?
Well, that's just it. I mean, you can't it's hard for anyone to imagine more excitement about a game than there already is for this one every year, but especially when both teams are good. And then when you factor in, you know, game day, I think it just multiplies it. And so this is going to be unique. It's going to be exciting. It's great for the state. I've always said this game is a great thing for the state. I think it's the biggest sporting event in our state every year, just from the perspective of how many people in this state are watching it or paying attention to it or listening to it. I mean, I would say probably 70-75% of the people that live in this state are glued to what's happening in the Iowa-Iowa State game. And so I don't know that we can name another sporting event that matches that. And so and then outside the state borders, it brings up a lot of attention to our state and to the uniqueness of this rivalry to have a Big Ten and a Big 12 school in the same state. Creates a really unique, neat rivalry. I mean, Michigan State's cool, but they're in the same conference. Kansas State, all those kinds. You know, if they're in the same conference, I don't think it's quite the bragging rights that you get when it's not only my school against your school, but it's my conference against your conference. And so I think that adds a lot, and it brings some national attention to this game annually, but especially this year it's going to be even greater.
John Walter is the voice of the Cyclones with us. You can hear him again tonight coming up on the Sideline Show. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. What do we know about the game day process or the setup at this point? I believe they're going to be right outside the Sukup end zone, right?
Yes, just south of the stadium. Sukup End Zone Club as the backdrop. That was the spot that, you know, the ESPN people came in, and I believe they met with Jamie Pollard and his staff yesterday. Looked things over. That's the spot they wanted. And so that's where it's going to be, and it's going to be a really nice backdrop. It should look really nice. It should showcase the stadium and should showcase Iowa State football very well.
Let's get to the game itself. Last year, a defensive...
No. Let's just keep talking about game day. That's what everybody wants to talk about. Yeah, let's talk about the game.
The offensive line for Iowa State, how big of a factor is it going to be once again this year against a very, very good Iowa defensive front?
Well, it's going to be a huge factor. I mean, they're going to have to do their job and do it very, very well against an explosive front four for Iowa. And so that's going to be an enormous factor in the game. I do like the fact that Iowa State has had some extra time to kind of get ready for that, to kind of correct their own misgivings, if you will. Things they did well, they can build on. Things they didn't do well, they can correct, hopefully, or at least start to correct. And I think, you know, having that first game against UNI and even the three overtimes that came with it provides you plenty of tape to look at, but also a decent amount of time to digest it and really try to do something with it. And so I think the staff embraced that. They're very happy to have that bye week after that first game and try to learn what they could from that game. So, but, yeah, the line of scrimmage is always huge in this series. I mean, really, that's where these games typically are won and lost. Sometimes you'll have a great playmaker that just makes play after play. I think of Steel Jantz, you know, in the one triple overtime game. He was just Superman that day and made a million plays. And I'm not sure that Iowa State win the line of scrimmage. Maybe they did. I know he was the guy that won that game for Iowa State. But most years, it's just who's better in the trenches, who's better up front. I think both schools have outstanding defensive lines. And so, you know, which defensive line is able to get more penetration and create more negative plays. And it'll be fun to watch. I mean, it's going to be two good teams that rely on physicalness and being tough up front. Getting after it, and that's going to be fun to watch.
By the way, Jamie Pollard apparently just announced on KXNO in Des Moines that the tailgating lots are going to open at 5:30 a.m. Saturday morning. So if you didn't think the atmosphere was going to be crazy, it's definitely going to be crazy. Is Colin Newell in a position where we're going to see him this weekend, or do we maybe see a little bit of Downing?
I haven't heard anything one way or the other on that. They'll put out a depth chart, I believe, tomorrow. With his press conference, and we'll see if Colin's on there or not. But You know, the injury didn't look great at the time, but you never know with a kid and when they, you know, get into treatment and stuff like that, how quickly did they come along. So we'll see. They could certainly use him. His experience there at center is important. It's an important position, obviously. Iowa State a year ago, as you recall, when they played Iowa, it ended up being the season opener, which nobody had planned. And so instead of having Colin start, they moved Julian Good-Jones inside to center because they didn't want Colin's first real snaps to be in that environment. They thought it would be a very difficult ask for him. But I think in retrospect, maybe wasn't the best decision. And I think they probably would have been better off just starting Colin and going with what they've been working with in camp. But I'm not going to certainly second-guess too many of Matt Campbell's decisions. He's made a lot of good ones through his time in Ames. But I think even he would say maybe that one wasn't the best plan. But Colin, if he can go, certainly gives them a guy that they know they can trust at that center spot. And I think they'd love to have him out there. I'm not sure what his status is, though.
I know they listed Orion Vance as the starting middle linebacker and move Mike Rose over to the strong side linebacker. How much has Orion just forced his way into this spot with his continued productivity?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, it wasn't necessarily a reflection on Will McDonald not being ready. But at the same time, Will is a redshirt freshman, and you can afford to bring him along a little bit more slowly when you have veteran guys that are ready to be in that spot. And so I think it was a reflection on Orion Vance probably having as good a fall camp as any player in the program. And they decided, you know, Mike Rose had the versatility to move out to that Sam linebacker and play out in space a little bit. And they felt like that would get their best players on the field. And so that's what they're going to do. And the one real benefit to that is that now you don't have any freshmen starting on that defensive side of the ball. They're all guys with at least some experience, and I think that helps. And so, but Orion really played a great game against UNI. He was probably the best player on the field for Iowa State defensively, and I thought he really, really played well in that game. So that was a good first step for him, and hopefully many more like that to come.
Still looks like the five-headed monster on the depth chart at running back. Do you think we'll see any more clarity this week as to maybe some carries solidifying for 1, 2, 3 guys over the other two?
Well, it's hard to predict that because, you know, if you've watched the UNI game, you've watched that game, you think, okay, it looks like it's going to be, you know, pretty much Johnny Lang and Breece Hall. And then all of a sudden, you know, Kane Nwangu gets in there and sparks the best drive that Iowa State had all day offensively. He got it going with three consecutive really good runs that got the ball rolling and finally gave Iowa State some offensive momentum. And then he got kind of dinged up and came out of the game and didn't return. Then all of a sudden the fourth quarter, the overtimes of the fourth quarter, it was Sheldon Crony doing a lot of the work. So I don't think anybody really separated themselves. I expect all four of those guys, especially if Kane's healthy, to play again on Saturday. And maybe as time goes on and we get a few weeks into this thing, they'll get a little more clarity, but I don't think we're there yet.
How hard has it been to kind of predict what Iowa State is going to look like in this game? We discussed last week how the non-conference, Matt Campbell uses it at times as a developmental period to see what he has. And by Big 12 play, you kind of know what the team is. But in the Iowa game, it seems like they still have been working things out the past couple of years.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And especially last year. I mean, that one was just not an ideal situation at all. They got one offensive series against South Dakota State and one defensive series. So they really were literally figuring things out still when they went into that game in Iowa City a year ago. And they looked like it. They looked a lot like they did, you know, this past 2 weeks ago against UNI. Just that it is kind of a process, and you really don't know what you have. And sometimes it takes a little while to work out those kinks. But I think the staff is really good at seeing those things and saying, okay, this is what we do well. This is what we maybe don't do as well. Let's tailor some things to that. And I do think you keep building on it as the season goes. I think Iowa State will be a better team in November than they are right now. But that doesn't mean they can't be a good team this Saturday. You know, I think they can. But they're going to have to be a lot better than they were against Northern Iowa in a lot of phases. But, you know, they did a lot of things well in that game, too. I thought they, you know, outgaining them, you and I, by a couple hundred yards, they They did some decent things. All the running backs averaged better than 4 yards a carry. Defensively, they didn't allow a touchdown in regulation. So, I mean, they did some very good things that they can build on in a positive regard, too, coming out of that game.
John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones. You can hear him this weekend on 1600 AM as the Cyclones take on the Hawkeyes in the Cyhawk game. I'm assuming, and it's always a risky proposition to assume something, but probably a lot of folks in Ames caught a little bit of that Iowa-Rutgers game this weekend. Your early thoughts on the Hawkeyes as you prepare to call the game this weekend. What have you seen?
Yeah, I've been very impressed. I've watched both their games, and they've played very well. And Stanley looks like the veteran quarterback that he is. He's making good decisions. The running game looks pretty solid with Sargent and that offensive line. You know, I think the defensively, they look every bit as good as you would have expected them to with that front four that we talked about. You know, good people on the back end as well. So, you know, I think they look very, very sharp. They look like a typical Kirk Ferentz, Iowa coach football team that is very, very good. And so I think it'll be a great challenge for Iowa State. I mean, if they can win this game, it's going to be a really good win. I think they can, but they're going to have to play very well to do it. But, no, it's not going to be handed to them, that's for sure.
Can this win, if they pick it up, be sort of a springboard for the rest of the season? We've discussed this all offseason long about the Big 12, and there are going to be some really tough games for Iowa State, but there are some other teams in the Big 12, like a West Virginia or some of these other teams that don't look quite as strong, and there's a lot of opportunities out there for wins in the Big 12 for the Cyclones this season.
Well, I think it could be a springboard to a great season, you know, and I don't think if you lose the game that it destroys any opportunity that you're going to have a great season, but if you can win this one, it could really springboard you to some very positive things. Louisiana Monroe coming in next week, you know, took Florida State to overtime and won their first game, so who knows how good they are. Maybe they're a lot better than people imagine, and that's one that's getting overlooked. But this is the first time, you know, since 1985 that Iowa State's played all its non-conference games at home. So it would be great to sweep them, all three of those. As we found out with the Northern Iowa game, don't assume anything, you know, and they're all going to be tough. And so obviously this one coming up on Saturday is the toughest of the three on paper, and you're going to have to play at a better level. You're going to have to play at a higher level to get this one. I think it's going to be an outstanding game. I'm really excited. There's going to be a lot of good players on the field. Everybody's going to be playing hard. They're going to be well coached on both sides. The energy is going to be unbelievable. It's just going to be an awesome football game, in my opinion. And, you know, you say that, and sometimes you just never know, and it ends up being a dud. But I just can't see that happening in this case.
Sideline show coming up tonight, John. I'm assuming it will be one quite a few Iowa State fans be listening to, given the fact that it is Iowa State week. Usual suspects joining you tonight?
Yeah, we have Matt Campbell to start off the show tonight, and then Jamie Pollard's going to be along and share what he can about game day and everything else that's going on with this weekend's game. So a lot of exciting stuff coming up tonight on the show.
All right, we look forward to it, and I will see you Saturday in Ames. Looking forward to it, John. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
The play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, John Walters, his appearance all season long. That includes basketball as well, brought to you by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. They're opening the tailgating lots at 5:30 a.m.
I assume they'll have some takers at that time as well.
I was going to ask John whether or not he would be beating the first tailgater to Jack Trice Stadium. I can't imagine he's rolling into work at 5:30 a.m.
That would be dedication.
Oh, man.
Maybe 6:30 for John.
I'm picturing you're coming in and you drive by that huge grass lot on the right-hand side, and it's madness. And you got buses and RVs in there, and it's just a sea of humanity. And if it's not cardinal and red, a cardinal and gold, it's black. Because Iowa State, Iowa fans, you got to wear black, right? Because otherwise you wear white or gold, you just sort of blend in and you kind of look like an Iowa State fan. So I have no idea. I haven't looked at the forecast yet. I have no idea. See, sometimes you get caught in that. It's really hot out, and nobody wants to wear black when it's really hot out. And then that's how Iowa State gets you. You got to go gold, yellow. You look like a Cyclone fan.
Sunny with a high near 79, according to the National Weather Service.
Man, that is getting smashed at 5:30 a.m. weather if I've ever heard it. 5:30 a.m. You see, I know Jamie Pollard is an entrepreneur. I know he's a brilliant AD. What he needs to do is, much like the bars charge a cover, I think you need to charge like an inflated cover. If you want to get into the lot at 5:30 in the morning, you pay a little more.
Like just five extra bucks?
Just going to throw that out there. If Jamie wants to scrape together a little extra cash this weekend, it is going to be an amazing time. As I mentioned, I will be there in Ames. That way, we'll have coverage for you next Monday on the program. Alex is going to be at the Elite Sportsbook inside the Draft Day Lounge at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Details on how you can hang out with him and watch the Hawkeyes and Cyclones available on our website, KGYMradio.com. 4:53, we'll take a quick timeout. When we return, Antonio Brown, now a member of the New England Patriots. Your thoughts. Welcome. 319-366-1600. Why even play the Super Bowl this year? Back with more after this.
Coach Matt Campbell talks a lot about trusting the process. I've been saying the same thing about financial planning for nearly 25 years. At True Wealth Stewardship, we have a process to create meaningful, workable financial plans for people just like you. Our clients trust the process. Shouldn't you? Visit TrueWealthStewardship.com to learn more.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC. Financial planning offered through True Wealth Stewardship, a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL Financial.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
If you're a small business owner, there's no better place to find the impact hire to help your business than LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you're looking for and then recommends qualified candidates from their community of engaged and career-minded people, candidates who you likely won't be able to reach anywhere else. The truth is, over 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. So build your winning team by posting a job on LinkedIn and visit linkedin.com/sports to get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/sports for $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/sports. Terms and conditions apply.
Pros, when the job demands more of the supplies you use most, start with Lowe's. Because at Lowe's, we stock the right quantities you need for any size job. And at everyday savings, like up to 30% off drywall, drywall accessories, and insulation every day when you buy in bulk. Order at Lowe'sForPros.com and we'll have your order ready for pickup with dedicated pro loaders to get you loaded up and back to the job site faster. For your next job and the next, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Welcome back to No Brainer. Gary.
I'll take cars and trucks.
What's the best way to protect your engine from gum, varnish, and corrosion?
Stabil 360.
Gasoline with ethanol can go bad in as little as blank.
30 days?
Using Stabil 360 ethanol treatment year-round is what?
Is it a no-brainer?
It is. You win peace of mind, Gary.
Awesome. Can I have money?
Stabil 360. It's a no-brainer. Available where fuel additives are sold.
Has anybody suggested Antonio Brown as the guest picker Saturday? He's got no tie. He'd be neutral. He has no ties to either school. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We'll get into, I thought we had more time than we did. We'll get into Antonio Brown's, is this a genius move on his part, or is this going down a road that the NFL can't really afford to travel? I'm not quite sure. I just know that he was unavailable to New England last night, and he is available to the Patriots moving forward at the league minimum for veterans, which is, of course, music to the ears of Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick. And meanwhile, you've got Antonio Brown's former team, Pittsburgh Steelers, getting curb stomped by the Patriots last night. The NFL is back. And there were some surprising storylines in week one. We'll get to that coming up in hour number two. Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette also scheduled to join us. We'll get his thoughts on Iowa and Iowa State. From a Hawkeye perspective, Mark has covered a number of these games over the years. Clearly, there's a lot of anticipation surrounding this game. The Hawkeyes are a two-point favorite. We ask you at KGYMRadio.com today, is the right team favored? You don't have to. If you're a Cyclone fan and you think Iowa is better, you can vote and say yes. Poll questions brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. Mark Morehouse kicks off the 5 o'clock hour next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Radio Sports Center.
Christine Lisi. Opening week of the NFL season finishes up with a doubleheader on Monday Night Football. Texans Saints kick off in an hour on ESPN TV. Then the Broncos and Raiders at 10:15 Eastern. Antonio Brown today, officially a member of the Patriots, signed his contract, 1 year worth up to $15 million. Team option for 2020 at $20 million, which becomes guaranteed if executed. There, though, is at least one major change in store for Brown from his days with the Steelers, notes ESPN's Ryan Clark.
We now understand who he is. The Patriots are set as who they are. He thought he was better and bigger than Ben Roethlisberger. He thought he was better and bigger than Mike Tomlin. I do think he's a little off. I want to believe he's competent enough mentally to understand going into New England is a different case for him.
Jags quarterback Nick Foles, Colts receiver Devin Funchess, each had surgery on a broken clavicle, will be put on injured reserve. Earliest Funchess can return week 10, Foles is week 11. Yankees outfielder Mike Talkman with a grade 2 calf strain, out 6 to 8 weeks.
Coming up on Tuesday, we break down the Monday Night Football double dip and look ahead to week 2 in the NFL. Plus, one college team is roaring up the rankings. Can they knock Clemson out of the top spot? That and more Tuesday on Golic and Wingo. 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
This Sports Center update is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Learn more at ncsei.com.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
My name is Brandon. I am a manager of tire sales at Firestone Complete Auto Care. When you come here to get service, we're going to take care of your car because you take care of your car is going to take care of you.
Come in for the Firestone Complete Auto Care Epic Sales Event and save $100 when you spend $500 or more. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Valid September 12th through September 15th. Exclusions apply. Cannot be combined with other offers. Additional fees may apply where lawful. See store for details.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
And welcome back in, 503, the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a wet Monday afternoon here in eastern Iowa. They are going to get that game in tonight, though, at Veterans Memorial Stadium. The Cedar Rapids Colonels taking on the Clinton Lumber Kings. Game three of the best of three Western Division finals in the Midwest League. Colonels win. They advance to take on the South Bend Cubs. And it's all on the line tonight, 6:35 first pitch. Tickets available at colonels.com or at the Colonels box office. They'll be opening the gates up in about 30 minutes. Mondays on the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Randy's Flooring. You can find out why they've been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years for yourself, either by visiting them online at randysflooring.com or checking out one of their two corridor showrooms here in Cedar Rapids or on the Coralville Strip. Randy's Flooring, local flooring by design. The Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn inviting you to reach out to us on the Hertine & Stocker Jewelers text line today, 319-366-1600, the number to call. We've got a great program for you today. Strong 5 o'clock hour here. Kevin Boylard of 24/7 Sports is set to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour as we reflect on the week that was or has been in the National Football League. We still have two games to go tonight, and that gives you one last opportunity. I understand that it's not a perfect opportunity because in a knockout pool, you like as many choices as possible to play as the season goes along. You're now limited to just four teams, the four that play tonight. But if you missed the boat on signing up for the KGYM knockout pool, the window is still open. You can select, if you would like to, one of these Monday Night Football games, the doubleheader tonight featuring the Saints and the Texans, as well as the Raiders and the Broncos. Somebody, the last person left standing, is going to take home $500 courtesy of Imon Communications. So it's not too late, but unfortunately, because most of the games are already in the rearview mirror, pickings, they be slim right now. Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, as promised, with us on the line. Mark, I said the same thing to John Walters in the 4 o'clock hour. I'd like to fast forward to 3:30 on Saturday at this point. Where do you come down on this week? Is this one of your favorite weeks of the year or least favorite weeks of the year?
You know, when it's a good game, I love it because yeah, I know that people say it's passion, but, you know, there's a lot of mania, and I love that. I love that when it's a good game. But, yeah, it seems like nobody's even reading anything this week. Everybody just wants to fight on the internet. And, okay, well, that's fine. Go ahead. I don't really care either way. I'm just not going to mix it up, period.
It seems like more people are interested in College game day going to Ames than the actual game, but from the on-field standpoint, how difficult is it to know what to expect on Saturday? We've seen Iowa State on the field once. They struggled against UNI, and we've seen Iowa twice, and they've been able to take care of business against a couple of cupcakes.
Yeah, Kyle, that's a great question. Alex, I'm sorry. It's really hard to say what Iowa State is or isn't. You know, there's always the theory that, wow, what'd they hold back in the first game? Everybody thinks, you know, before the Iowa State game that both Iowa and Iowa State are just, you know, playing poker these first 2 weeks or first week of the year, whatever. That's not true. When you go into three overtimes against an FCS team at home, you're trying your damnedest to win the game. You are pulling out every tool you have. So, I don't know. I don't think I buy the fact that anybody's held anything back. I can't, for Iowa, I can't think of anything. But yeah, I what to expect on the field. I think Brock Purdy will probably pull a rabbit out of his hat a few times. And I really kind of like Iowa on the line of lines of scrimmage. I think very close defensive lines wise. I think Iowa's offensive line against Iowa State's defensive line is going to tell the tale here.
Mark Morehouse with us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can read his work at the Gazette Online. Your impression of Iowa two games into the season so far. What do you think of the 2019 Hawkeyes?
It feels to me like the passing game has reached a level of sophistication early this year, and I think the talent behind it has helped it realize its full potential so far. Amir Smith-Marset's a different player. Brandon Smith he's got a different profile in the offense. He's a go-to guy. They're throwing the fade for him. They're drawing penalties. I think Iowa has six holds or PIs this year already called against them. I think they had 13 all of last year. So that's showing me that defenses are confused and doing a lot of grabbing. So the level of sophistication I was passing in has been a surprise. It feels to me like the running backs have replaced the tight ends as far as touches go, or at least taken what you'd imagine Iowa would lose, losing two first-round tight ends in the NFL. So you're seeing you're getting to see a lot of Mekhi Sargent, a lot of Torn Young, and yeah, there was Ivory Kelly Martin last week, and Tyler Goodson looks like he's going to be something. So Iowa's running game against Iowa State's defensive line. I think I know game day is there, but I think that's going to be fun to watch.
You mentioned Amir Smith-Marset. Is it safe to say at this point, when we chatted with Brian Ferentz a week before the season, and he said that Amir Smith-Marset was one of the most impressive players on the roster, he wasn't just blowing smoke, and he's taken that next step?
You know, Alex, I wondered about that because Brian was the guy who recruited Amir out of New Jersey, away from Minnesota, I think once or twice, away from Rutgers, for sure. So I thought maybe that was sort of recruiting talking. The guy who brought him to Iowa and made the promises, I thought, okay, well, he's just trying to make him happy. No. The light is on for Amir, and he's got the speed that makes everybody go, wow. And what really caught my attention when Brian talked about that, Alex, was the 12 pounds that he's put on. You know, can you keep him on the line of scrimmage? I mean, Rutgers let him free release a lot Saturday, and I don't think you're going to see a lot of teams do that anymore because you saw what happened.
Let's keep the focus on the offensive side of the ball here. Ivory Kelly Martin, what's his status in the backfield right now?
Looks like he is kind of Mekhi Sargent-ish. He can be that lead back. But to me, it feels like maybe he's sort of the safety net for Tyler Goodson. I think they really want to get him going. He might have some lateral movement that not a lot of the other running backs have. So I think they want to get him going. He's got the vision. And I think a little bit, Ivory Kelly Martin might be the safety net for that. They want to get him engaged because I think, obviously, he's got some skills coming out of the backfield. And there is one ball, and they have four running backs who look like they want to really matter this year. I don't know exactly how it's going to shake out, but, as you know, Todd, they'll use all four. But Kelly Martin, he's a guy everybody kind of forgot. But last year, just like Alex talked about with Amir Smith-Marset, last year, Ivory Kelly Martin was the guy that Brian Ferentz said won the job at camp. And that was against the two guys who are new. Now Mekhi's a whole new player because he was only here for a couple months last year before the season started. He's a whole new guy. Torn Young is a whole new guy. And Tyler Goodson, you saw him. He's a new talent. So I don't know how his touches are going to go, but he really, Saturday, I was surprised how much he could, 25-yard screen pass, a couple of looks in the backfield. And Brian's running that double running back set. He ran it maybe a half dozen times last week. That looks like it might actually be something in the offense. I kind of pushed that off as something to show the defense and get them thinking. I think they might go back to that regularly throughout the season.
What about the offensive line? What do you make of all the shuffling with Alaric Jackson out, especially with Tristan Wirfs, who played some left tackle, he played some right tackle on Saturday?
I think right now, in these first 2 weeks, Alex, you can get away with that. I mean, I think it was 9 offensive linemen and 6 combinations in the first game. I didn't count the combinations in the second game. I think everybody kind of saw them. It was 8 offensive linemen in the second game. Kallenberger, I think, was in the first quarter because he's a low-key important guy for the future of this team, because pretty good chance that Iowa probably has two offensive tackles who might have the option to play professional football next year. And so you want to get the clock going for Kallenberger. He's going to be a very important player. So they want to get him going. It looks like Kyler Schott's going to be something. I mean, he's basically a starter now. Cole Banwer was supposed to play last week. I don't remember seeing him at all. I don't think he played at all. So they've got a lot of depth there and more than enough Paulsons, I think.
Defensively, I know there were a lot of people that were concerned about A.J. Epenesa after the Miami game. Is it safe to put those concerns to rest right now?
Yeah, you know, yes. And I'll say this, you know, even against Miami, Todd, you've seen enough Iowa football. How many times do guys do opposing offenses go to the line of scrimmage and point to a guy and know exactly where he is and really account for him? To me, that's unsettling for an offense, because they're preparing for one guy and there's other guys. So he's affected the game in the first 2 weeks, unlike any Iowa defender in my mind, just because he is such a disruptive, the disruptive potential, I think, that teams worry about with him. You know, sack fumbles are death. I mean, that's momentum killer. So I think it's pretty amazing, and I think, yeah, I think it's subtle, and so I don't blame people for just kind of, okay, where's all the fat? I get that, but you really watch the game, you see that Epenesa is a specter hanging over the offense, just waiting for everything to, you know, blow up.
Mark, I'm glad you bring this up, because for the Iowa coaching staff, do you think these first 2 weeks have reaffirmed everything that they thought he was going to be? Because there was still the question mark out there, can he play every down? Can he be good against the run and do more than just rush the passer? And he absolutely has these first 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't think anybody has totally appreciated what Iowa has done defensively the first 2 weeks. I think the narrative about Epenesa and the lack of sacks, that's kind of blotted out what has been a pretty dominant dominant defensive performances. I mean, Rutgers had 41 yards last week, 47 yards or 25, 125 yards last week. That's their lowest total since 2017, the last game of 2017. So I know it's Rutgers, but still, that's less than Ohio State, less than Michigan in the last couple of years. So that gets my attention. And then just the way Rutgers is a bad team, so you know there's that too. But Miami wasn't able to do anything, we got a little bit of a passing game going, and I think we saw two new safeties. That was a little work, but really, Iowa's defense the first 2 weeks has really made me wonder how Iowa State's going to attack Iowa's defense. I mean, we saw, 10 points or 13 points in four quarters last week against Northern Iowa. I'm not exactly sure how it's going to work for Iowa State against this defense. I know Iowa State has a gaggle of receivers who are good, and I know they want to play tight end, and I think they'll have to with Epenesa around. But last year, you know, the offensive line against Iowa's defensive line, that's what lost the game. And I think Saturday, that's still on the table.
What question marks, if any, do we still have about this team 2 weeks into the season?
I think secondary, there's just too many guys hurt right now, I think, to really know what it is or isn't. Jack Kerner came in and played a nice clean game. Nobody really talked about him much, and I think that's good. I liked what Kayvon Merriweather had. I liked the fact that he made mistakes. He knew what he did. Those are correctable errors. You can work with those. I don't like the corner depth right now. I think it's puts a lot of import on Matt Hankins and Michael Ojemudia, who's been really good the first 2 weeks. But Riley Moss and Julius Brents, both the backup corners are out. I think that should make Phil Parker a little bit nervous. But beyond that, you know, can Iowa sustain this passing game against, you know, real teams with a real rush and real secondaries? We're going to find out Saturday, because I think Iowa State might have one of the better defenses Iowa will see this year.
You led me right to my next question. What have you made of Nate Stanley in his first two tune-up games, and has it told you anything about how he may react to his first real test of the season?
You know, I don't worry about Stanley anymore as far as what the opponent is. I'm going to ask you guys this. Do you think, you know, the long ball, he's missed a few in the first 2 weeks. To me, is that it, like his three iron? I mean, is that just the club that he can't hit? I wonder about that. I mean, we saw last week with Amir Smith-Marset, straight down the field, first touchdown, 58 yards, perfectly in stride. A couple of things I like about Stanley and the long ball there. The announcers last week really picked up on this. The fact that he doesn't underthrow those and where the ball could be picked off. I think that's good. I think that's safe. You got to connect on these. I think so far, Iowa has not been hurt by that. Maybe Michigan State 2017. But beyond that, these have not hurt, but I think he can help himself. Beyond that, though, I think Stanley has been pretty perfect. If you look at his pass efficiency, and I know people kind of roll their eyes at that stat, but you know what? Higher the better. And he's been terrific the first 2 weeks. I think around 170. That'll win a lot of games for Iowa. I mean, a lot of games. Completion percentage is up. And the thing I really like about him is that, you know, he's a third-year starter. He's not really sweating bullets anymore. He's sort of like, okay, how can we attack? And I think that's maybe what Ferentz tried to articulate sometimes when he talks about taking the game less seriously and just having fun out there. I think I don't think it's that so much. I think it's plugging in and being able to feel like he can be aggressive. I think he has that now.
A, it's our show. We ask the questions. You don't ask the questions of us. And B, you've clearly never golfed with me before because it's the 4-iron, the 5-iron, the 6-iron, the 7, 8, 9. I can sort of hit the wedge, and the putter I can kind of use. Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette with us. What have you seen? And granted, we've only seen one game, you and I, Iowa State, but your thoughts on Matt Campbell's program. He seems to have Iowa State right where he wants them at this point. And it's hard for me not to look at what he's doing in Ames and the parallels between Kirk Ferentz as he had to rebuild the Iowa program. I see a lot of similarities here.
Yeah, and that right now Matt Campbell's kind of established that he wants to be the program that in the Big 12 that values defense. Everybody plays defense. Not everybody values it the same way. Matt Campbell values it. He values a running game. I mean, can they find it this year? That's kind of one of the big questions. Losing David Montgomery hurt, obviously. But they want to be in line of scrimmage, and I like that. I think that's a differentiator in the Big 12, and that can really work for you. I like his perspective on this game. It's not the Super Bowl for him. Dan McCarney, bless his heart, and he really turned it around. He's kind of the father of Iowa State football, if you look at it, at least in the modern era. He put a lot of premium on the Iowa game, and I think that goofed things up for the program a little bit. One thing I think Matt Campbell has done, and I'm sure Iowa State fans will argue with me, but one thing I think he's introduced them to meaningful Big 12 football games in November, and you know what? I think Iowa fans love that deal.
I'm glad you bring this up, because is he not starting to get sort of the moniker that Kirk Ferentz did on how people perceive him to treat the non-conference as more of a developmental period?
You know, maybe. Iowa State's non-conference is usually a little bit different than Iowa's. I mean, they might have to go on the road to a MAC school. Iowa doesn't have that anymore. I don't think that'll ever happen again. So they have a little different road to travel some years, non-conference-wise. But, yeah, there could be, Alex. I think that's healthy for Iowa State. And you know what? Frankly, the Cy-Hawk wears off after a couple of weeks. And what really will matter and resonate with Iowa State fans, a conference title. Go get one of those.
Mark, they're opening the tailgating lots at 5 a.m. I said 5:30 earlier today. It's actually 5 a.m. How early are we going to have to arrive at Jack Trice Stadium to get a parking spot on Saturday?
I think I'm going to leave at 7. Does that sound too early, Todd? I think I'm leaving at 7. We always take some goofy way through Nevada, some really back rosy way, which usually works. But I'm nervous about this week, man. I'm thinking about staying at Ames on Friday. I've never done that. And you know what? Part of that is because, you know what? It sounds like it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun.
Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, we appreciate it as always, and we will see you tomorrow in Iowa City for the players and Kirk Ferentz. Talk to you then.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Always love talking football with Mark. And yes, correction, not 5:30 a.m., but 5 a.m. They are opening the donor and the general admission parking lots for the Iowa-Iowa State game on Saturday. Kickoff is 3:30, 5 a.m.
It's going to be fun.
You would need to break out the fainting couches in Iowa City for some of the administrators down there. They would absolutely, the blood would rush out of their heads hearing that if somebody suggested they do that in Iowa City. And meanwhile, Jamie Pollard is like, world's biggest party, y'all.
Yeah.
Let's get crazy. Let's pound those Busch Lights, put on the bib overalls, and hee-haw it up for the College Game Day crew. And the Hawkeye fans are going to be there, too. Can you buy stock in a police department? Because I would like to buy stock in the Story County Sheriff's Office and the Ames Police Department just for one day and one day only. Get an initial public offering, get it low enough, and sell Saturday night when the cells are full. It's going to, look, Iowa learned its lesson in 2002 when they played Iowa State at night, and Bob Bowlesby basically said never again. Never again. And Iowa State taking a different approach to this. By the way, speaking of Bob Bowlesby, if you have not heard it, we are airing the Big 12 this week, a radio program all throughout football season. I caught some of it on my way to Iowa City on Saturday morning. Bob Bowlesby was a guest. I thought he gave a tremendous answer in discussing the decline in attendance across college football, because unlike a lot of other stuffed shirts, AD type characters, Bob Bowlesby's not afraid to address the elephant in the room. And Bowlesby, I don't know if you caught this or not, but Bowlesby was talking about, hey, you gotta have competitive teams, and you gotta give people a reason to leave their living room in 2019.
Yep.
Because, and his exact quote was, you got a fridge stocked with beer, and you got a big screen TV and a comfy recliner. You have to give people a reason to leave, and at least for one day and one day only in the state of Iowa, that reason may be parking lots opening at 5 a.m. Actually, the stock needs to be in Busch Light, because they may run out. You may have to import it from other counties. It may be a more valuable currency than White Claw. I mentioned on Friday's program the stories going around nationally saying that we're running low on White Claw, that it's so popular, it's become a victim of its own success, that now it's going to become even harder to find. It's going to be like those $20 bottles of bourbon that you have to pay $50 for. And if Morehouse is listening, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. But there, it's a $20 bottle of bourbon. It's good, but it's not great. But because of this artificial scarcity, all of a sudden people are charging $40, $50 a bottle for a $20 bottle of bourbon. That's going to be Busch Light in Ames on Saturday. They'll be out of it by noon, and they'll still have 3.5 hours to go before kickoff. 319-366-1600. And you're missing all of it, but you're going to be in a place as equal to, if not more fun, than an overcrowded parking lot in a sweltering Jack Trice Stadium parking lot. You're going to be at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside.
From noon until kickoff at 3, I will be at the Elite Sportsbook inside Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. I have never, Todd.
What time's the Memphis game?
I don't know.
I
think they play South Alabama. I don't know.
Money flying around. You're gonna be having them write tickets right and left.
Yes, I will bet on that. But I have never been inside a sportsbook while a game was going on. And I have heard all kinds of stories. Never. I've never been to Vegas since I've been 21. So I don't know what it's like.
Country song, right? I've never been to... Oh, that was Spain.
When I was at the Elite Sportsbook last time, the college football had not kicked off yet. I've heard the stories. I'm ready to see what it's like for myself. And you can come visit me between noon and three and stay for the game. It's going to be fantastic.
Well, I've never been to England, but I kind of like the Beatles. 319-366-1600. It is, that should be a really fun time on Saturday. The game, by the way, has been sold out for a really long time. So if you don't have tickets, there are fewer places more fun to watch, especially if you're into people watching, than inside a sports book. Because you will have folks there who have money on Iowa State. You will have money on Iowa. And every play, you will have people sweating and living and dying by every single play, especially in the fourth quarter. And God forbid, one, two, three overtimes. Like the, what, 6-7 years ago? How long ago was that? Was it that long ago we had the triple overtime, 44-41? I don't have my notes in front of me.
That would have been 2012?
That was a fun game.
Or 2011?
Not a whole lot of anticipation for that game, but one of the funnest. Now, I know Iowa fans are going to be like, what the hell are you talking about? The Hawks lost. But as far as being there and I can't believe what we're witnessing, that one will rank right up there. Could this be an all-time great game this weekend? Could this be a real clunker? It could go either way. We really don't know. And part of that is the fact that Iowa State has not played a game for 2 weeks. And so they're the great unknown right now. And I can guarantee you this. They're going to look better against Iowa Saturday than they did against you and I 2 weeks ago. And not because it's Iowa. Don't get me wrong. But because Matt Campbell will have spent this past bye week making sure that some of the mistakes, I don't think he'll be able to correct all of them without playing a game, but he'll make sure that some of those mistakes are rectified.
Todd, that game was in 2011. It's been 8 years.
8 years?
How is that game 8 years ago?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah. I was dreading the days where I would start to feel old by hearing random facts, and those days are here.
Ann in Solon was at that game, third row, which happened to be on the side of the field where all the scoring happened in overtime. It was the south end zone, I think, is where all the action was taking place. I was standing next to Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com that day. That was a... There's differences between the college and the NFL, but I like the college overtime rule. And I like when you get beyond the second overtime where they just... they take that field goal off the table. It's all out there. You're going for two. And now we're bringing up two-point conversions again, if you and I fans are still sore about that. By the way, Will McElhane, Missouri Valley Football Conference Player of the Week, right?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's very good. Turns out the biggest question mark about you and I football was actually answered all along.
Like the biggest question
didn't
mark
know it.
Is that was their biggest missing ingredient from last year? Who could have known?
We'll talk UNI football with the one and only Gary Rima coming up on Wednesday. Oh, baby, I love this segment every Wednesday at 4:30. Kyle is with us in the studio. He's going to bring you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City.
Iowa beat Rutgers on Saturday 30-0, holding an improved Rutgers offense to just 125 total yards and 5 first downs on the day. Nate Stanley threw for 236 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no picks. Amir Smith-Marset had a career day on the receiving end with 113 yards and 2 touchdowns, and Makai Sargent, Torin Young, and freshman Tyler Goodson all surpassed 50 yards rushing. The Hawkeyes are ranked 19th in this week's AP poll, but rankings go out the window this week as we prepare for what could be safely referred to as the most anticipated Cy-Hawk game ever. ESPN's College Game Day will be on the Iowa State campus for this one, and that's also going to happen for the first time ever. And as of right now, the Hawkeyes are a 2-point favorite for the 3 o'clock kickoff. There's a line of thinking I ran into during fantasy draft prep that tight ends never contribute as rookies. That's why even though former Hawkeye tight end TJ Hawkinson was selected by the Lions 8th overall in last summer's draft, you could have gotten him deep into your fantasy drafts, and yesterday he made you look pretty smart. He hauled in 6 catches for 131 yards and a touchdown. That's 25.1s in PPR scoring, and also sets the NFL record for most receiving yards by a tight end in his NFL debut. The Colonels had a handful of walk-off victories to end the regular season, so maybe it was all to prepare them for the walk-off victory they needed last night to extend their playoff lives. The last 5 home victories have each been on walk-off singles, including Deshaun Kersey's RBI to steal Game 2 3-2. That creates a deciding Game 3 tonight here in Cedar Rapids. First pitch is set for 6:30, and the winner moves on to the Midwest League Championship. Tonight, right after the show, we'll have the Cyclone Sideline Coaches Show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. And then around 8:45 on all KGYM frequencies, it'll be Monday Night Football featuring Noah Fant and the Broncos taking on the Raiders.
All right. Remember, last call. Get your entries in if you have not already signed up. KGYMradio.com. Look for the knockout pool slider at the top of the webpage. You can still choose one of the four teams that has yet to play in 2019. Somebody's going to win $500 when everything is said and done, courtesy of Imon Communications. There may be a misconception out there that because Sunday has come and gone, you cannot get signed up and get registered. That's not the case. You just can't pick the Thursday or Sunday games because they're over at this point. But there are two games that you can choose from tonight. So you have four teams at your disposal for purposes of the knockout pool. Again, a big thank you to Imon Communications for their sponsorship of the 2019 KGYM knockout pool. We're going to take a quick timeout and we'll keep the focus on the National Football League. Kevin Boylard of 24/7 Sports is with us when we return. Did the Patriots really need Antonio Brown? Back with more after this.
Couples strolling arm in arm would stop to see the display, pointing at the sparkling beauties inside, and little ones would lean in eagerly to see the wonders within. As the decades have passed, the colors behind the glass have changed from gold to silver to platinum and back again, moving with the years, reflecting current trends and classic style. The windows at Hertin & Stalker Jewelers have always been a centerpiece in downtown Iowa City, something to look forward to and share. And now, those windows are even bigger and more wondrous. The Dickens family will create even more beautiful displays with diamonds, colored stones, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, and rings. So come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin & Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
Look alive, coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K through 12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Join me, the gym's Alex Kuhn, broadcasting live Saturday before the Hawkeye game at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge.
C-O-A-C-H. Five letters synonymous with leadership and encouragement. But even more about your success in life. Hear from the coach right here on the Cyclone Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock here on the gym, 1600 AM, KGYM.
Five 5:37, welcome back in. A Monday edition of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Randy's Flooring. You can find them in Cedar Rapids and in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. They've got a wide selection of child and pet-friendly flooring options for those of you in the market for those needs. You can check them out online, randysflooring.com. Local flooring experts by design. A big thank you to Randy's for being our presenting sponsor here on Mondays. Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, both have already joined us today. If you missed them, our podcast will be available at kgymradio.com shortly after we're off the air tonight. You are listening to Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM. We will have the late game for you tonight, that Monday night doubleheader, the Broncos and the Raiders. Noah Fant making his NFL debut tonight for Denver right here on KGYM. And we promised we'd keep the focus on the NFL after Iowa State heavy in the first 90 minutes. Kevin Boylard of 24/7 Sports with us on the line now. And Kevin, the obvious place to start here after week one of the NFL is almost in the books. The Antonio Brown saga, can you even put into words what has transpired here over the course of, let's just say, the last 72 hours with Antonio Brown?
Hey, John, thanks for having me, first of all. And second of all, I really don't know if you could put it into a simple sentence to wrap up how I feel on the Antonio Brown situation, but everyone was joking on Twitter that he was going to end up with the Patriots, and for it to actually come to fruition is downright scary, especially if you look at the way the Patriots played last night against the Steelers, beating them handily, 30-33, without Antonio Brown. The fact that he's about to be in the fold, they don't even need him. The Patriots are about to be sacked, and it looks like they have a clear path back to the Super Bowl again for the fourth straight year.
Am I wrong for at least being a little skeptical and thinking that this whole thing is a little bit fishy, that he forced his way out of two spots and ends up with the New England Patriots? And very rarely do we joke about things and something happens exactly the way that we theorized it was going to happen.
Well, I don't know if it was all predestined for him to end up in New England, but I do think that Antonio Brown's ultimate goal in this entire saga was to become a free agent and to control his destiny and to sign where he wanted to sign. If you remember, at the end of the Steelers tenure, he was acting and pretending as though he was a free agent. Then there was the reported trade to Buffalo, which Antonio Brown nicked. Then he ends up in Oakland, making it seem like he does have some control over his fate. That never worked out. And then the video that he released after he was cut by the Raiders, I think, showed his true colors. When he was celebrating and saying, "I'm finally free," you realize not only what Antonio Brown wanted all along, and it was to be a free agent.
Kevin, somebody has to lose out here with Antonio Brown showing up on the scene. You got the talented receivers that New England already has. How can this possibly work, especially with Bill Belichick, a guy who doesn't seem to put up with anyone's nonsense? I can't see Antonio Brown just sort of suddenly falling into line because he's now a New England Patriot.
Right, and let's not assume that it's going to work out, because this is Antonio Brown we're talking about, which is, you know, a really volatile character. We don't know what Antonio Brown is going to do next, ever. And the one thing I would say that should give Patriots fans hope that it will work out is the limited amount of times before things really went south for Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh, the limited amount of times that he was in the news, other than the Facebook Live issue, he was really going along and the Steelers were winning and there were no problems. Well, the Patriots win a lot. And I think winning cures all. And if he's able to go along with the program and play and stay happy and not make a big thing, and the Patriots are winning, I could see it working out. Then again, Antonio Brown, as I mentioned, is a complete wild card. And maybe he's not getting the touches that he wants, or maybe he does something, freelances a little bit, hurts Tom Brady or Bill Belichick. We'll see how that turns out. But right now, I think if there's a team that could make big use of him, it's the Patriots.
When we talk about sort of the difference between, let's just say, the NBA and the NFL, you talk about the NBA being a players' league, you talk about the NFL being controlled by Roger Goodell, and the owners. How uneasy do you think this whole situation makes those two parties, seeing a guy crab and whine and ultimately get his way?
I'm sure they don't like it so much. But I did see an interesting tweet. It's funny you bring that up. And they said, it was a Broncos player. I want to say it was Chris Harris tweeted, the NFL should have stepped in like the NBA did for the Chris Paul deal and stopped Antonio Brown from signing with the Patriots. Now, that has never happened. It probably never will in the NFL. As we know, it's pretty rare in the NBA as well. But I bet you that this whole scenario and saga really ruffled a lot of feathers in the league office and probably around the league as well. I bet you there were half the teams in the league. They said that Antonio Brown had a rough loss market. I bet you there was half the teams in the league that immediately, as soon as they saw he was available, thought, no way, we're not touching him with a 10-foot pole. And the Patriots are one of those teams that can get away with that because of the extended success they've had. And ultimately, he ends up there with the money he wants and apparently happy. So we'll see what comes next.
Kevin, other than the Antonio Brown saga, what's your big takeaway so far from week one?
I want to say, I've got a ton of takeaways, but my biggest takeaway probably outside of Antonio Brown is that the Cleveland Browns were a total fraud. Played at home, opened their season against the Tennessee Titans, a team that hardly anyone has any expectations for this year, and absolutely slaughtered. And not just slaughtered, but they really, really melted down in the fourth quarter. Baker Mayfield finished with 3 interceptions on the game. He was sacked in the end zone for a safety earlier in the game. The Browns went up 21 unanswered points in the fourth quarter, and they lose the game 43-13. And on top of it all, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham was apparently wearing a $300,000 watch that he's not allowed to wear during NFL games, and so he's probably going to get in trouble for it. So to me, it just shows that championships are not won in the offseason. They're the 1 millionth reminder. No one wins a championship or a Super Bowl in the spring. They're won during the season, and the Browns don't look like real competitors.
So what are reasonable expectations for this team after what you saw in week one?
Let's not fool ourselves. There's still a lot of talent on this team. Odell Beckham Jr. is a very talented wide receiver. Baker Mayfield had a very good rookie year. And the defense is absolutely loaded. And they got 4 sacks for the game. So I do think that defense is going to come to life at some point and lift this Cleveland team to victory. I predicted before the season that they'd be 9-7 and miss the playoffs. I still think that's reasonable and a goal that the Cleveland Browns should shoot for.
Nick Foles' injury, obviously a major headline as well, especially if you're a Jacksonville fan. Is Gardner Minshew going to be able to get the job done here in his absence? He looked pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, he didn't look so bad, but the Jaguars went out and traded a 5th-round pick for Josh Dobbs, and while Gardner Minshew will probably remain the starter, at least that's what all reports are saying, I wouldn't be surprised if they give Josh Dobbs some looks. He's been decent as a backup with the Steelers, and I think that it's possible that he could outplay Gardner Minshew down the line somewhere. But ultimately, Minshew played well enough for it to be his team moving forward. There's also the hope and the possibility that Nick Foles is able to come off injured reserve halfway through the season, and if the Jaguars are still in it, which I don't know if they will be. I'm not hot on the Jaguars this year. Maybe he can lead them to a second-half surge.
I don't even know where to start with that game in Miami yesterday. I guess I'll start with the Miami Dolphins. Has Brian Flores lost his team already?
I don't know if he ever had his team. I'm actually really curious now, looking back on the Adam Hayes line, because the Dolphins were a team going into last year I thought was so devoid of talent that they would finish 3-3. And I think they actually exceeded expectations and went 7-9. And I think this Dolphins team is sick of finishing 7-9, 8-8. And I think they actually want to tank from the top. Now, Brian Flores is probably trying to win every game that he can, but ultimately you're seeing all the stories about Miami Dolphins players requesting trades, the reported revolt that would happen if Laramie Tunsil was traded, he was traded. This team just doesn't have a lot of talent, not much going for it at all. And you really want to go one way or the other because of how well the Ravens played on offense, but the Dolphins look so bad, and it's still week one. You can't really make a full judgment on that game just yet. But right now, my biggest takeaway from that one is that Miami Dolphins are not interested in competing. And if they play like that all season, I don't see how they can win a single game.
Kevin, Pittsburgh obviously ran up against a pretty talented New England team last night, but is there reason to be concerned if you're a Steelers fan after last night?
Yeah, you should be concerned because this looks like a team that didn't have Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown. I know they're used to not having Le'Veon Bell after last year, but they weren't able to get much of anything going on the ground. Only 32 yards rushing in that team. And Big Ben was really struggling as well, completing only 27 of his 47 passes. That's 20 incomplete passes for a passer rating of 65.6. I think that Ben Roethlisberger misses having some of that talent around him, especially when you look particularly at the passes he threw at Dante Moncrief. He's got 10 targets. He only caught three. I think he had four drops in the game. It's really embarrassing and really illustrated and highlighted the lack of talent on this Steelers team. Now, I still think they're a well-coached team and a team that's going to get it together at some point in the season. Let's not forget, you're playing the Patriots, defending Super Bowl champion, on the road to start the season and breaking in some new players. But ultimately, I think the Steelers will be okay. And if you look around the AFC North, I think that the Bengals maybe surprised the Steelers with a close loss. The Browns, I think, are down. The Ravens are the team you got to worry about. But ultimately, I think the Steelers should be in contention for the AFC North when everything's set down.
With the Ravens, should we pump the brakes on the Lamar Jackson hype train after that awesome Week 1 performance, or does he have a lot of talent around him to where he'll be able to succeed this season?
No, I think full speed ahead with the Lamar Jackson hype. I was saying during last year's draft that Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback in that draft, and he was the only quarterback who led his rookie quarterback who led his team to the playoffs last year. He turned and transformed the Ravens offense into the best rushing attack in the league. And then he came out this season and went 17 for 23 under 24 yards, 5 touchdowns for a perfect passer rating against the Miami Dolphins, who, albeit, appear to be tanking. But Lamar Jackson, I think, is the best quarterback in that class. And he's going to prove it this year if he still has the doubters, which apparently he does.
Kevin, a couple games on tap tonight. The Saints taking on J.J. Watt and the Texans. Is this New Orleans team a legitimate Super Bowl contender in your eyes?
Absolutely. They were a really well-balanced team, good on offense, good on defense a year ago, quarterback by a veteran who's done it all in Drew Brees, won a Super Bowl MVP, really talented running back in Alvin Kamara, one of the best wide receivers at Michael Thomas, a solid offensive line. I really like this New Orleans Saints team to go very, very far. In fact, I've got to win the Super Bowl this year. And to top it all off, I wouldn't be surprised, and a lot of fans aren't going to like me saying this, but I wouldn't be surprised if they get a few pulls this year, considering the way things went for them at the NFC Championship. I think everyone knows that they were screwed out of that game. And if the NFL has a couple of makeup calls up their sleeve somewhere down the line, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw them.
The Oakland Raiders, are they able to turn the page from this whole Antonio Brown saga? I guess my question is, what is left on this roster for John Gruden and Mike Mayock?
I really, really think that's going to be a devastating loss that really haunts this team for the entire season. It's funny because I've never played a game with Antonio Brown, but the cloud from his stay will hang over this team for the entire season. Now, they did go out and get three first-round picks. So those rookies, you expect to see them make an impact in some way. Cleveland Farrell was a fourth overall pick. They shouldn't finish dead last in sacks again after losing Khalil Mack last year. They got Josh Jacobs in the first round, a talented running back out of Alabama, and a much younger, healthier option than Marshawn Lynch to lead the charge on the ground. There are reasons to have some faith in this Oakland team, but ultimately I think the circus show that surrounds them will overpower and overshadow anything they do on the field this year.
Kevin, before we let you go, back to Thursday night's opener between the Bears and the Packers. Are the Packers that much better this year, or are the Bears maybe not as good as everybody thought they would be this year?
I think a little bit of both. I think the Packers were breaking in a new offense with Matt LaFleur, so it was going to be slow going on the road against a tough Bears defense. But Aaron Rodgers ultimately made the handful of plays to win the game, so that's expected. The Bears, on the other hand, I think they're going to take a big step back this year. I actually have them finishing last in the NFC North this year, and the biggest reason is I think Mitchell Trubisky is not legitimate. I think he played scared. He has very little confidence in his ability, and that was a pattern on Thursday night. He relied heavily on his defense, not just to be stingy, but to score points for him last year. And they led the league in turnovers, and they scored a ton of defensive and special teams touchdowns. And just by the nature of the way things go in the NFL, that's going to regress towards me this year. And therefore, if the Bears defense isn't winning games for Mitchell Trubisky, that means he has to go out there and win games, and I just don't trust them to do it.
Kevin, appreciate the time tonight at 24/7. Kevin Boylard on Twitter. Thanks for the time.
Of course, not anytime.
5:52, and we will have the NFL Monday night game for you, the late game coming up tonight after the Cyclone Sideline Show. Noah Fant making his NFL debut for the Denver Broncos as they take on the Oakland Raiders. What do you do with all of, imagine how many Antonio Brown jerseys the Raiders sold, and the guy is never going to put one on. You got to do something for your fans to make that right. I'm not saying give them $179 back or whatever an NFL jersey runs these days, but you've got to have some sort of make good with your fan base after this debacle.
I don't know what you do. We'll get to the Antonio Brown stuff a little bit later on, but let's not all forget that they traded away Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. Yeah, high-priced players, but two high-character guys, two guys who are never issues in the locker room, went out there and performed like stars week in and week out. And then they said they were going to get younger and develop guys. That didn't work, so they went out and they signed in. They brought in Antonio Brown and Vontaze Burfict and Richie Incognito, and this was their making good for Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, and it has crashed and burned before it even started.
You know, Will Cain said earlier today on ESPN Radio that he doesn't think Antonio Brown will be a Patriot by, I believe it was December 31st, that this is all going to blow up, that a leopard cannot change its spots, that even a coach like Bill Belichick cannot possibly get him to fall into line. I don't know, maybe Antonio Brown, maybe the specter of winning will be enough for Antonio Brown to win. But he had that in Pittsburgh, and he was still doing Antonio Brown things. The Facebook Live while Mike Tomlin had said, get off social media, stuff like that. I cannot see him just suddenly going, oh, I play for Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick now, and Tom Brady's my team. Look, it's almost comical. You've asked Tom Brady to keep Josh Gordon on the straight and narrow, and now you're doubling down. Now you worry about Josh Gordon, and now we're going to make you worry about Antonio Brown too. And what happens the first time Antonio Brown's not happy with the way that a Hall of Fame quarterback in Tom Brady spreads the ball around? Because we saw that with a Hall of Fame quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger, and it didn't end well. Pittsburgh, I think, chose wisely here. The Raiders wound up giving away two draft picks for an offseason of headaches. They get nothing. I mean, this is... Now, I did see classic overreaction on ESPN earlier today. Max Kellerman saying that this is the most unprofessional thing in sports history. Maybe not quite. We need to take a timeout. We're running long here in the 5 o'clock hour. We got NFL and college football, obviously, to get to the weekend that was in the Big Ten, all coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Back with more after this.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Feel House First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food, stay for the sports. Feel House First Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat, working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
The great thing about facts, they're proven.
like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities, and the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, what's that look on your face? Defeat? You want to save more money? Then start playing as a team! Bundle home and auto with Progressive. That's how you win big savings. What? You need music to get pumped? Let's do this! Hold on, I'm going to turn it up. That's too loud. Yeah, that's better.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
And we welcome you back in a Monday jam-packed, overflowing with juicy sports goodness. It is the moistest sports talk radio show in Eastern Iowa, the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until 7 o'clock tonight. What's to come in the 7 o'clock, the 6 o'clock hour, you may ask? Well, there's a football game in Ames to look forward to this weekend. We'll hear some of what Kirk Ferentz had to say after Iowa's victory over Rutgers last Saturday as well. Plus, yes, more NFL discussion and the week that was around the Big Ten. Minnesota survived a trip out west. Illinois won but did not cover as a 3-touchdown road favorite. And perhaps you may have heard the Nebraska Cornhuskers lost at Colorado. Just in case you've been living under a rock, the Scott Frost National Championship dreams in year number two may have died on the vine at Folsom Field in Boulder. All that and more to come. It is a Monday edition of the show presented by Randy's Flooring, Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. Check them out at randysflooring.com. Todd and Alex with you till 7 o'clock tonight. Third and final hour on the way, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
SPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. The Big Easy and the Black Hole in the spotlight for the Monday Night Football doubleheader. Live coverage underway on ESPN TV and the ESPN app for the Saints and Texans from New Orleans. The Saints coming off heartbreaking playoff losses in back-to-back years could wind up playing for a Lombardi Trophy this season, says ESPN's Booger McFarland.
This is a Super Bowl caliber team. You have a veteran quarterback. Alvin Kamara is one of the best running backs in the National Football League, and a defense that's tough against the run, and the secondary is getting better. So they're talented. But it's going to be key, especially the way last year ended. They want to get that bad taste out of their mouth. They feel like they were one of the better teams in the National Football League, not just last year, but the year before. But they have nothing to show for it.
Doubleheader caps off with the Raiders and Broncos at 10:15 Eastern. Jags quarterback Nick Foles and Colts receiver Devin Funchess each had surgery on a broken clavicle and will be put on IR. The earliest Funchess can return is week 10. Foles is week 11. Eagles defensive tackle Malik Jackson has a significant foot injury. Not yet known if he needs surgery or if the injury is a season ender. Ravens cornerback Jimmy Smith with a sprained knee out multiple weeks. Redskins running back Darius Geis has a meniscus injury. He's hoping his recovery is just a couple of weeks. Bengals running back Joe Mixon day-to-day with a sprained ankle. Baseball Angels outfielder Mike Trout had a procedure done to address a toe issue. He's listed as day-to-day. USC athletic director Lynn Swan resigned amid a tough time for the program. Football teams won just one Pac-12 title the last decade, and the men's basketball program has reached the NCAA tournament only twice since 2012.
Coming up on Tuesday, we break down the Monday Night Football double dip and look ahead to week two in the NFL. Plus, one college team is roaring up the rankings. Can they knock Clemson out of the top spot? That and more Tuesday on Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
We're speaking with ESPN Radio's Chris Singleton.
And then when you look at the records, it's unfortunate because at some point they're going to get the ball maybe a little more back to neutral, but then those records will have been broken and guys won't be able to have a chance. First of all, the ones who lost the records, but then the next guys following, those records are going to be like unreachable.
Baseball Tonight. Subscribe now on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
Did you know overall job satisfaction is at its highest level in 15 years? Wow. 51%. Wait, what? That's barely half. Would you see a doctor with 51% patient satisfaction? No way. Yet 49% of you keep driving to that unsatisfying job. Why? You have options. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. mycomputercareer.edu.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
6:04. Welcome back in. It is a Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That means we are being brought to you by Randy's Flooring. You can check them out here in the corridor in Cedar Rapids or in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. They've been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years. Stop on in and chat with their local experts. They can get your job done right with the materials that you need on time, on budget. Randy's Flooring, again, here in Cedar Rapids and in Coralville. A big thank you to their presenting sponsorship on Monday's program. 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM, also heard on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, and online at kgymradio.com. We have seen a spike in last-minute signups for the knockout pool. I'm going to continue to beat this drum over the next 45 minutes. I know it's not ideal if you have missed the boat, if you didn't get in on the ground floor on Thursday or on Sunday. You've only got four teams to choose from, but it doesn't matter. As long as you pick one of the two teams that wins tonight, you're going to remain alive in the knockout pool for week two when you do have a full slate of games to choose. So if you haven't already signed up, we've got details at our website, kgymradio.com. You will need an NFL.com account that is free to set up. The 2019 KGYM knockout pool, the password is IMON, all lowercase letters, I-M-O-N, if you find it on your own, or you can follow the link at kgymradio.com. Here's how I look at it, Alex. It's $500. And your odds are pretty good. You've got a pretty good shot at just being handed $500. It's not as if we got 20 million people. This isn't Powerball. We've got a couple hundred people so far, several hundred people signed up for the knockout pool. Can't win if you don't play. And you can choose New Orleans. I think they're a 7-point favorite tonight over the Texans. Not that that necessarily matters. We saw some heavy favorites lose over the weekend. And then I'm assuming that Denver is a favorite over Oakland tonight. I could be wrong. Denver's not great
either, though, bad.
And that game is in Oakland. So maybe the Raiders are favorite.
Broncos are a 3-point favorite.
Okay.
In Oakland.
Yeah, I can see that. I would tease Denver and New Orleans tonight on a 6-point teaser, if you could somehow manage to get that. I usually can't do just a 2-team. Throw those over-unders in there and get really creative. just another opportunity to remind you that Alex is going to be hanging out at the Elite Sportsbook inside the Draft Day Lounge this Saturday. Why isn't he with me in Ames? Because, quite frankly, they got no room for us in the press box at Jack Trice Stadium. It's going to be a full house, both in the press box and in the stands for the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones. So I'm in Ames. Alex is in Riverside. It's the best of both worlds. Stop on at what time again?
I'll be there from noon to 3.
Noon to 3, right up to kickoff, and presumably probably then sticking around to watch the game and maybe get some money down on some of the other contests. There was money to be made this past weekend in Iowa City. If you had the Hawkeyes covering the 18.5, whatever the point spread, it's easy to cover when the other team doesn't score. And Rutgers, that was a bad football team. But for the next couple weeks, Iowa's going, well, I can't say that because Ohio State and Indiana play this week. So it's not like Iowa gets to lord its 1-0 Big Ten record over everybody for an entire month or anything like that. Here are a couple clips, by the way, of Kirk Ferentz's post-game news conference on Saturday discussing a guy that has gotten a lot of run in the first 2 weeks of the football season on this program, and not necessarily of the positive kind. It's Kirk Ferentz talking about Nate Stanley and his early season success.
Coach, Nate only had one touchdown in the first two games last year. He's already got 6 this year. What's been the biggest difference for him just in the first two games compared to last year?
Yeah, I think the thing I would say is what I alluded to a moment ago. Just, you know, he really looks like he's comfortable and in control, those two things. And, you know, that's something you can't hand a player. It's a really tough position to play. It's tough in our offense, what we ask our quarterbacks to do. So, you know, he's worked hard. You know, he's been through highs and lows and a lot more highs than lows, fortunately. And I think right now we're seeing a guy who's really, really feels good. And the guys around him are doing a good job, too. And that's certainly, you know, nobody does things on their own out there. So it's good to see a good collective effort.
What's the Stanley's advantage when you're inside the 5 several times, but he's had drives where he's been able to attack a couple years ago at Iowa State. He had like 4 that were 10, you know, 90 yards plus. Yep. How does his demeanor help you in those situations?
Well, yeah, as you guys all know, he's a really steady person and doesn't really, you know, get too high or too low on anything. So, but the big thing I'd go back to right now, you know, I think he's more comfortable and he's leading us better than he ever has on the field. And, you know, it's just a tribute to his hard work, his perseverance, his dedication, all the things that, you know, tend to make players really good players. And it's a nice luxury to have, you know, to have him out there. So, and again, he's getting good help from his teammates as well.
Alex, Kyle, where are the Nate Stanley haters after 2 games? They were around after 1 game. We still had people questioning him after the Miami opener. But it's hard not to look at the numbers here. With 6 touchdowns, no interceptions, passing, I believe it was Ricky Stanzi, right, for 3rd all-time on the touchdown ranks behind Drew Tate and Chuck Long, or maybe he passed Drew Tate and it's Stanzi and Long. Anyway, he's now 3rd all-time at Iowa and could possibly break the all-time touchdown record before everything is done. He'd have to average, I believe, 1.25 touchdowns a game moving forward. He's been averaging 3, so not that he can sustain that pace, but what have you seen, and in particular last Saturday, what did you see from Nate Stanley that maybe could allay some of the doubts that people still have about him? Because he did hit the deep ball, and going back to our conversation with Mark Morehouse, I like that Mark points out Stanley's misses come on overthrows. When do you get in trouble as a quarterback? When you underthrow the ball. You leave a little too much air underneath it, and it gets picked off. So even his flaws at this point, his perceived flaws, they sort of work in his favor.
He's been good so far. He's done what he's needed to do so far. You ask where the haters are, they're laying in the weeds. They'll be back.
They will be back, and they could be back. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
They could be back as early as Monday, next Monday.
Yes.
Because if Iowa loses to Iowa State, given the fact that it is the rival, they will come out of the woodwork.
I'm glad Mark alluded to the deep ball as sort of his three iron. For me, it's like the three wood. I can hit it good. I can hit it well, like one out of every four or five times.
You're going to be hanging out in those golf bays, aren't you?
You know
Riverside.
What? Those golf bays also pose as large TVs, so maybe I'll just use it that way.
I kind of, now that the parking lots are open at 5 a.m., I kind of want to punt on going to Ames this weekend and maybe just hang out with you in Riverside all day. That sounds way more fun than because I'm working on Saturday, and now I'm looking at, you're gonna have to be there at like 8-9 in the morning to get a parking spot. What am I supposed to do then? Just take a nap for a couple hours? I got nothing to do. Once I'm parked and you get to the stadium, it's a pretty boring life. 319-366-1600. What'd you think of the Hawkeyes shutout over the Rutgers Scarlet Knights over the weekend? 366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Let's dial up 8060 here. This is Kirk Ferentz talking about another guy who had some detractors after week one, and that's Iowa's preseason All-American, A.J. Epenesa. It turns out that you probably shouldn't have worried about that one tackle that he had in the box score after Miami.
I know everyone expects A.J. Epenesa to pick up the offensive tackle and throw him out of the stadium and then grab the carpet and shake it and let the quarterback fall down. Are you impressed with his kind of hanging with it?
Yeah, I did sense some unrealistic expectations last week, after the game. He's not going to make every play, and he shouldn't. He's a defensive end. But if he just does his job, when he does it well, it impacts things. You know, a lot of times those are little subtle things. They don't necessarily show up. But, you know, just making a quarterback move around, making them uncomfortable, making them aware that you might be over there, that's a good thing. So there are a lot of little subtle things that go if a guy plays well. And he's practicing hard. He's doing his absolute best out there. And, we need them all to grow. That's really what we need. So, but he's doing his part for sure.
And that, if you caught it, was the exact moment in which Kirk Ferentz wanted just a little bit more real estate on the podium for his Dasani water bottle and decided that he was going to move my recorder out of the way. It turns out a funny thing happens when a team builds its entire game plan around A.J. Epenesa. He doesn't stuff the stats. When teams worry about other players and don't focus on him, guess what? He's able to get to the quarterback. And he went airborne. He did what you're not supposed to do, and I wish we had the audio. I was late getting into the room because for whatever reason I decided to subject myself to listening to Chris Ash's post-game.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I should have known better. And by the time I got into the room, AJ was finishing up. I didn't get a chance to get my recorder up there, but AJ was talking about you're not supposed to go airborne. You're not supposed to leap into the air, and he did it. It was sort of an accident, as Bob Ross would call a happy accident. Nobody got hurt, and the results were positive, but AJ Epenesa displayed on Saturday just exactly why he was a preseason All-American.
And like the first 10 minutes of the game.
Very early on.
And I know people point out the sacks because you're used to seeing him sacking the quarterback. He had 10.5 of them without starting last year. But that's not all that he does. And I feel like if you're an Iowa fan, that should comfort you more than it takes away from A.J. Epenesa. The fact that early on in that game, he batted down a pass, chased a running play down backside, and blew up an RPO within, the first 10 minutes of the game. Yes, he didn't get a sack, but you heard Kirk Ferentz say there, as long as he does his job and disrupts the game, makes the quarterback move. You see McLean Carter throwing the football in that first quarter? He was terrified. He was nowhere near on target because number 94 was in his face all day. And McLean Carter's a lefty, so he can see number 94 coming at him, and he was still terrified.
319-366-1600, Iowa's third shutout in its last seven Big Ten football games. Pretty impressive when you look at it. And as Ed points out on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line, shutting out any opponent is good. Don't give me this, well, Illinois was garbage last year, Rutgers isn't very good this year. And if somebody could explain to me on the text line why I thought it was a good idea to listen to what Chris Ash had to say after the game was over. I like Chris. He's been with us on the program before. He's an Iowa guy, a Tumwa native. He's just not going to get the... As I said to Morehouse going up the tunnel Saturday, he's going to make a nice coordinator for somebody next season. I don't see Rutgers making the type of progress that you need to see to keep him around.
To me, he's just a terrible fit for a program like Rutgers. They need a hype man.
They do.
They need a guy that can market
them. They need a PJ Fleck.
They desperately need a PJ Fleck. And Chris Ash, he may be a fantastic football coach. He may be a guy that can scheme things up, but unless he can sell recruits on going to Rutgers and has a big personality, it just doesn't seem like a good fit for a program that is just as low as they can possibly be right now.
That is the best summation of square peg, round hole. That Rutgers needs somebody to come in and bang the drum and get people. Mike Loxley seems to be doing this at Maryland. Mike Loxley, whom we were chiding coming into the season because of his past results,
ain't shutting us up.
I said this on Saturday, and I believe it was to Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com. I never thought I would say this, but it looks like it's a good year for Iowa to not have Maryland on its schedule because Mike Loxley's got some playmakers. And most importantly, he's got a quarterback.
He's got a quarterback, Josh Jackson, the transfer from Virginia Tech, who's very good. But that's all they needed. They have some really good running backs. And they ran for 345 yards against Syracuse. 63-20. Syracuse was ranked in the top 25 going into that game. And they absolutely embarrassed them. That turnaround happened pretty quickly. Now, I'm not ready to think that they're going to win the Big Ten East or anything, but it looks like a team that can go to a bowl game.
Speaking of bowl games, and Rutgers is not going to a bowl game anytime soon. Let's get to the rest of the Big Ten results this past weekend, because there were certainly some interesting ones. The obvious place to start here would be with Nebraska and Colorado, but it was hard not to watch what was unfolding in Ann Arbor, especially after talking with John Bacon last week on the program about his book Overtime, in which he was embedded with the Wolverines and Jim Harbaugh last year. They almost had their entire season derailed by a service academy on Saturday. They had the Iowa State UNI syndrome going, where it just seemed like they were going to lose that game until they didn't.
This is a note to all top 10 teams. Stop scheduling Army. Why would you schedule?
That's not very patriotic.
Why would you schedule Army? Did you see what they did to Oklahoma last year?
Yes, I did.
The team that went to the college football playoff, Oklahoma needed to go into overtime to beat them. Michigan thought they were going to be different this year. They weren't. They needed to go into overtime to beat Army. I am not sold on Michigan, never have been, but I will say that this game did not sway my opinion one way or another. Playing a team like Army, where you have no motivation to take them seriously sometimes. And they're good, so good at what they do on both sides of the ball. And you have to prepare for that offense, which nobody wants to do. Nobody in the Big Ten, especially not a top 10 team, wants to prepare for that offense. And they beat you in time of possession, and they give you half the number of possessions that you would normally have during the course of a regular game. That's what happens. And Michigan learned that lesson almost the hardest way possible.
Speaking of really hard lessons to learn, if you had money on Buffalo against number 11 Penn State last weekend, you probably learned a really hard lesson, because the Nittany Lions beat Buffalo 45-13. That's a 32-point margin of victory. The problem is Buffalo was only getting 31.5 points. Minnesota beats Fresno State. That was a game that I had circled, and we talked a little bit about last week. Nothing good happens when a Big Ten team heads west of the Rocky Mountains. It looked a little choppy for a while for Minnesota, but they had a really strong second half and force overtime, and they got the job done. Credit to PJ Fleck. Ed on the text line is wondering if Wisconsin is not the favorite at this point in the Big Ten West.
They certainly look like it.
They have been very good against two suboptimal opponents, South Florida and Central Michigan, this past weekend. Wisconsin winning 61-0 over Central Michigan at Camp Randall Stadium. They've been impressive. They've done what they've needed to do in those types of games where other teams play a lesser opponent and they struggle. Look at Colorado. They played a lesser opponent this past weekend and they barely won.
They barely got out of there with a victory.
It doesn't get old until it does. But people keep saying that Scott Frost and Nebraska are going to turn the corner. They're going to turn the corner. They gave up 24 fourth quarter points to Colorado.
They blew it.
And lost the game 34-31. And you've got Nebraska fans out there, and I don't think they're being facetious. There are some Nebraska fans out there calling for Scott Frost's job at this point.
I'm going to disregard those people because I don't know what to tell them.
Thumpity thump thump thumpity thump thump. That's what Colorado did in overtime.
I'm not going to write off Nebraska for the rest of the season because they played much better the second half of the year last year than they did the first half of the year, and they have Northern Illinois and Illinois the next 2 weeks. So theoretically, they better be 3-1, or you can start really talking about the run Scott Frost out of town things, which they won't do. But that will really get the ball rolling. But there's still some problems on that team, which we outlined. They're 8-4. They're an 8-4 team. That's what I said. That's what I thought they were. That's what you thought they were. All this talk about a Big Ten championship and a national championship was a joke from the outset. We all knew that. So for them, the concerning thing, not necessarily is that they lost, it's how they lost. They had a 17-0 victory or a 17-0 lead. They were controlling that game, and they kind of went into a shell.
Chris pointing out on the text line that Frank Solich was fired for going 10-2. And they got Bo Pelini, and Bo Pelini was fired for a number of reasons. He won 9 games a year, and it wasn't good enough. And now
times have changed.
Two coaches after Bo Pelini.
I think the athletic department has learned their lesson. The fans, no. The athletic department, yes.
Folsom Field was a sea of red.
Yes, it was.
A sea of red, as we predicted last week, and they were seeing red as they left. Other Big Ten results from over the weekend, as we mentioned, Maryland putting up 63 on a top 25 Syracuse team. That game is the reason that game day is in Ames this weekend, because otherwise Clemson-Syracuse probably draws a national eyes. And Purdue, Vanderbilt-Purdue, was a very interesting first half. Purdue was up, I believe, 14-10 at the half. Final score winds up being 42-24, a nice cover and victory by Jeff Brohm and the Boilermakers.
220 yards receiving for Rondale Moore. He's still pretty good. Purdue's offense is going to be fine. They can't stop anybody. That's their problem.
Also, it was revealed that the Sindelar, their quarterback, suffered a concussion
Yes.
in that game. So his status this week is up in the air. There was some consternation directed toward the media and Purdue for saying that it was a mild concussion. There is no such thing as a mild concussion. You either have a concussion or you don't. To me, the biggest surprise over the weekend, and maybe it shouldn't have been a surprise, but Luke Fickell taking Cincinnati back into Columbus. I would have expected a little bit different outcome there. Ohio State was favored by 14.5 points, and they won that game 42-0.
They ran away with it. Cincinnati's offense isn't great. They were missing a couple of players, but give Ohio State credit. They took care of business. And against a really good defense in Cincinnati. And that was the other game. I think there's only one left that you haven't touched on. Did you want to get to that one at all?
Illinois.
I was going to say there's three.
Okay.
Eastern Illinois, Indiana. That was 52-0. Western Michigan lost to Michigan State 51-17. This one was bizarre. We talked about this in the office, not necessarily on the air, but Illinois was a 3-touchdown favorite on the road against UConn. The Huskies are awful.
One of the worst teams in the FBS.
And at the end of the first quarter, they were beating Illinois 10-0. Illinois winds up pulling that win out of the hat, 31-23. That's a game Illinois loses last year. They don't come back. They fall down 10-0 early on. They don't come back and win that game.
I understand that, but there are problems. There are major problems.
Yeah, there's still six teams with a shot at winning the Big Ten West and Illinois.
Yeah, Illinois.
Don't get me wrong.
Illinois might be worse than they were a year ago. I watched part of that game. To have 357 total yards of offense against UConn is a travesty. UConn, their defense, like, I'm not being hyperbolic here. They gave up the most yards in the history of college football last season, I believe, by more than 500 yards.
I'm going to tell you all this right now. I'm going to say it one time and one time only. If you've ever watched football with Alex, he is a college football guru. And I can see him getting kicked out of Riverside on Saturday for making you, the listener, too much money, because what's going to happen, Alex is there from noon to 3 Saturday before the Iowa State game, and the listeners are going to be coming up to him and they're going to say, hey, what do you think about this off the wall game here, where they're not even going to be expecting to write tickets on some of these games, and Alex is going to be able to, he's our Phil Steele, he's going to be able to tell you his thoughts on these games. You guys are going to make a lot of money on his knowledge. That's what I want to have happen on Saturday. I want the folks at the Elite Sportsbook to be like, we can't have this guy back here again. He's making too much money for these people.
If only I could possibly live up to that Phil Steele. There's no way I could ever remember half the knowledge that guy does. But I've been banging this drum a couple of times. I've said it on this program. We were talking about Army and Michigan, right?
Yes.
Army, second year in a row where they've gone into a top 10 team, teams building and taking it to overtime. Just so happens that a former player at Army that I know has told me that their coach, Jeff Munkin, who has turned that program completely around, his dream job, a job he's only going to leave Army for one place and one place only. He's a Central Illinois guy. He's from Peoria. He wants to take over at Illinois. If you're Illinois and this season plays out the way that it looks like it's going to, you would be foolish not to hire him. I don't care if he runs a triple option. You've never been able to recruit there. Bring in somebody that gives you a chance to win. I've said my piece.
Memphis, 55-24 over Southern.
Yes.
Over the weekend. Did you have that one in the win column?
A win over Southern?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just want to, because I know where you're at on the season win total for Memphis.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know.
They got a long way to go.
I'm keeping track here. Don't think I'm not doing it. 319-366-1600. 6:31, we will take a quick timeout when we come back. The Colonels are about ready to get underway in a do-or-die Game 3 at Veterans Memorial Stadium tonight as they take on the Clinton Lumber Kings. Colonels walked it off in the ninth inning last night. Kyle's going to fill you in on that and more. A big board update right around the corner after this.
Style is certainly influenced by the times and current tastes. In fact, during Hertin and Stocker Jewelers' 70-plus years, they've seen colors, metals, and stones go in and out of vogue many times. That history gives the Dickens family a keen understanding of what's modern and fresh now, and what's great and beautiful from years past. That's why they offer estate pieces. These previously loved jewelry treasures are nicely priced, and the collection changes regularly, so there's always something new to discover. And if your own jewelry box holds a few things that don't quite suit you anymore, bring them into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers for cash or credit to use in store for something new. Come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Even the most talented players don't make a winning team without a great coach. I'm Lisa Nolan with RE/MAX Concepts. And as a lifelong Cyclone fan, I appreciate all the Iowa State coaches. As a realtor, I am your coach. I identify the strongest selling points for your home, I understand the details of this market, and I always make a clear plan for your success. Let's work together to buy or sell your home. You can contact me anytime at lisanolanrealtor.com. We'll make a great team.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh. For every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day ever. Member FDIC.
It is inevitable at this point. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. There are a lot of people still running Windows 7 because they don't want to make that change. I very much empathize and understand, and we all do at Network Computer Solutions. That's where we're here to help, to be honest with you and get you through that process to be able to keep your business run effectively.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
The kids are back in school.
Yes.
Football season is here. And it's the most wonderful time of the year at Airport National Golf. It's time for fall golf. Play Airport National in Cedar Rapids Monday through Friday from open to 2 p.m. and get a round of golf, cart, and lunch for just $25. There's plenty of great golf days left, so spend them at Airport National and get a round, cart, and lunch for just $25. Stop in for details. Airport National Golf, Wright Brothers Boulevard in Cedar Rapids.
6:34, we welcome you back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Monday evening here in Eastern Iowa. Stick around tomorrow on the program. You'll hear from Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz and some of the Hawkeye players. Tomorrow is also National Suicide Awareness Day. We do want to make everybody aware that throughout the program, we're going to be bringing you some information on a topic that those of us here in the building feel very important about. And we understand that it is not something that everybody will embrace, nor will everybody be comfortable with it. But we wouldn't be doing this tomorrow if we didn't think that it was important to you. And with that, we invite you to listen to as much of our local programming as you care to tomorrow. 319-366-1600, as promised. Kyle in the studio with us. Our third and final big board update of the day. When you think boards, think Alexander Lumber. They're not just lumber. They're a whole lot more. Alexander Lumber, 420th Street in Iowa City. You can also visit them at their showroom, Answers by Alexander. That's on South Gilbert Street, also in Iowa City. Here's our producer, Kyle Mann.
Iowa beat Rutgers on Saturday, 30-0, holding an improved Rutgers offense to just 125 total yards and 5 first downs on the day. Nate Stanley threw for 236 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no picks. Amir Smith-Marset had a career day on the receiving end with 113 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Makai Sargent, Torin Young, and freshman Tyler Goodson all surpassed 50 yards rushing. The Hawkeyes are ranked 19th in this week's AP poll, but rankings go out the window this week as we prepare for what could be safely referred to as the most anticipated Cy-Hawk game ever. ESPN's College Game Day will be on the Iowa State campus, also for the first time ever, and as of right now, the Hawkeyes are a 2-point favorite for the 3 o'clock kickoff. There's a line of thinking I ran into during my fantasy draft prep that tight ends never contribute as rookies, and that's why even though former Hawkeye tight end TJ Hawkinson was selected by the Lions 8th overall in this summer's draft, you could have gotten him in your fantasy drafts pretty late, and yesterday he made you look pretty smart. He hauled in 6 catches for 131 yards and a touchdown. That's 25.1s in PPR scoring, setting the NFL record for most receiving yards by a tight end in his NFL debut. The Colonels had a handful of walk-off victories to end the regular season, so maybe it was all to prepare them for the walk-off victory they needed last night to extend their playoff lives. The last five home victories have each been on walk-off singles, including Deshaun Kersey's RBI to steal Game 2, 3-2. That creates a deciding Game 3 tonight here in Cedar Rapids. First pitch is getting thrown right about now, and the winner moves on to the Midwest League Championship. Tonight, right after the show, we'll have the Cyclone Sideline Coaches Show on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, and then around 8:45 on all KGYM frequencies, it'll be Monday Night Football featuring Noah Fant and the Broncos taking on the Raiders.
Yeah, this is interesting. The winner of the Colonels Lumber Kings game tonight will advance to take on South Bend in the Midwest League Championship Series. That game is that series is set to get underway Wednesday at Four Winds Field in South Bend. The Cubs have optioned Adbear Alzolay, who made his Major League debut with the team earlier this season, to South Bend for the Midwest League Championship Series. The moves like that are not necessarily common this time of year, but the Cubs have only one affiliate still playing. The Iowa Cubs were bounced from the PCL playoffs over the weekend. They want Alzolay to continue to work on regular rest, so the Colonels or the Lumber Kings could be facing a top pitching prospect and major leaguer in the Midwest League Finals, as if it wasn't a tall enough order already. 319-366-1600 from the college ranks and last week's Big Ten slate to the NFL. Couple games to look forward to tonight, Alex. We've got Drew Brees and the Saints as about a touchdown favorite over Houston. And then a game I think a lot of folks in Eastern Iowa are going to be focused on, Noah Fant, set to make his debut as the tight end for the Denver Broncos. They take on Oakland without Antonio Brown, who has joined his new team, the New England Patriots, should be available to them in week two. Let's talk about the other Iowa tight end, though, T.J. Hockenson.
Pretty nice debut, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, the worries about using a top 10 draft pick on TJ Hockenson, I think, went out the window. Now, he's not going to do that every week for them, but Matt Patricia was not lying when he said, we drafted this guy to use him. And we're not going to sit him. We're not going to bury him on the bench. We're going to figure out a way. He's a dynamic playmaker. He was at Iowa, and that's carried over to the NFL, although I did see somebody say that he looked like a poor blocker.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I just, somebody.
There's always that one guy. He's definitely that guy.
Somebody with a blue check mark.
There's always that one person out there that does that. He'll be fine as a blocker. It's a tight end. Tight ends do take a while to learn how to block in the NFL, and he is well ahead of the learning curve for that position. And isn't it strange that we're having the discussion right now on September the 9th that Noah Fant has been the better blocker than pass catcher in the preseason, and TJ Hockenson just broke the record for receiving yards by a rookie tight end in his first game, and we're worried about his blocking. That's interesting enough to me. But we said this, he's going to be an instant impact NFL player. And he made as big of an instant impact as any tight end in the history of the football of the NFL in his first game.
319-366-1600. If you want to weigh in on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line, you're more than welcome to do so at this point. Antonio Brown. Let's get back to the elephant in the room here. It's still hard for me to digest here because he basically got everything that he wanted. He fell upward into a better situation. And there were other NFL teams. I was listening to Chris Mortensen on Golic and Wingo this morning saying that other NFL teams started to do their research when they knew that Antonio Brown was going to become a free agent. And they all quickly learned that he'd already set his mind on going to the Patriots. Something just seems off here.
Yes, it does.
And this LeGarrette Blount traveled a similar path to New England. He didn't quite do it in the way that Antonio Brown did, but you have one of the best teams. You have a dynasty in the New England Patriots, and they just suddenly luck into the services of one of the best receivers in the league on the league's veteran minimum salary. And then the rich get richer. Trickle up football. I'm still trying to wrap my head around this.
To me, it was predetermined. Whether it was by Antonio Brown and the Patriots or not, whether it with a fix was in or not, Antonio Brown, all of the crap that we have seen from him for the past 2 years was for one reason, and that was to end up with the Patriots. That's what it feels like to me, because none of it made sense. A normal human being doesn't act the way that Antonio Brown did. And when I know you brought up Max Kellerman and saying it's the most unprofessional thing in the history of the NFL, I cannot remember a behavior during the course within the locker room that was consistently as bizarre as what we've seen from Antonio Brown. Just day after day, it was one thing, it was another, and the bashing of teammates and players every step of the way, and getting traded for a third and a fifth round pick. Then the Raiders, this was a desperation move by them. They needed to tell their fans, we're going to get some good players in here after we traded Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. And they were desperate to bring in Antonio Brown. You don't believe me? They didn't cut him until Antonio Brown just said, cut me. He made a video, including a private phone call with John Gruden.
Which, this is amazing. And I almost feel we've done a disservice to the listeners by not getting to it until now, but John Gruden signed off on allowing him to use the audio.
Yeah.
In this country, it's illegal to record somebody else when they don't know they're being recorded. It's part of the reason why we can't be the jerky boys here on radio and just cold call people and prank them on the air, okay? That ship has sailed. And the videographer that is filming this for posterity's sake, because let's face it, people are going to be interested. There's going to be a 30 for 30 on this. And probably in the not too distant future, this may be the most recent subject of a 30 for 30 ever. I'd be working on one tomorrow if I were ESPN. Antonio Brown's videographer, it's pointed out to him that, hey, this is illegal. You can't use Gruden's phone call without his permission. And so he basically goes through the motions thinking that Gruden's going to tell him to take a flying hike. And Gruden's like, no, man, that's awesome.
Unbelievable.
This whole franchise is a barge fire. It's not a dumpster fire. This is a large-scale barge sailing down the Mississippi River ablaze.
What do they do now? I don't know what they do now.
Kyle would know. He's the fantasy football guy. He's taken over that mantle from Tyler here. Who's their number one offensive weapon now in Oakland with Antonio Brown out of the picture?
The number one offensive weapon in Oakland. That's a great question. Let's see. Josh Jacobs is supposed to have a pretty good rookie year out of Alabama. Their number one receiver, Tyrell Williams and Hunter Renfro.
What's Denver tonight on the Denver's a 3-point favorite, you said?
3-point favorite, yep.
And it's a road game. I don't like betting road games in the NFL. But I'm not here to tell you what to do. But you don't see Oakland winning. How can Oakland, given all of the five-ring circus that has surrounded that organization for the last week and a half, how do they go out and play a game tonight and win and beat the Broncos? I know the Broncos aren't great.
That's how they would do it, but the problem is they still, I think, have one of the worst offensive lines in football. And what Von Miller is going to do to Colton Miller and what Bradley Chubb is going to do to Trent Brown, their new offensive lineman who they signed from the New England Patriots, because nobody who leaves the Patriots ever is a bust when they go somewhere else. It's not going to be pretty. If they can't keep Derek Carr upright, it's going to be a long night. But then again, are we really trusting Joe Flacco and the Denver Broncos? That's where I have some pause. I think the Broncos are pretty bad.
I read some disturbing things about the Broncos' feelings toward Joe Flacco over the weekend. They're not exactly completely sold on him. Hey, we want to reward you for still being here with us in the final couple minutes of the program, whether you've been listening since 4 o'clock today or maybe you just tuned the radio on. Caller number 6 right now is going to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We're going to be back at Mulligan's next Thursday for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Mulligan's has everything that you could look for in a bar. They got hot food, they got cold drinks, and they got a ton of TVs. Mulligan's, 1060 Old Marion Road. Caller number 6, taking home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's right now, 319-366-1600. We'll step aside for the final time tonight. When we come back, a quick update from Veterans Memorial Stadium on the Colonels Lumber Kings game, and we'll let you know what's on tap tomorrow, a Tuesday edition of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. Back with more after this.
Hear that? You're knocking on the front door of the new home you want to own. You might be close to making this big purchase, but just need a little help to get in the door. That's where the team of mortgage experts at Midwest One Bank can help. We support you so that you feel comfortable and empowered from open house to closing day. Simply put, we'll help you find your way home. It's empowered home ownership. It's Midwest One Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. And right now, get your first online visit totally free when you go to 4hims.com/deal. Sure beats paying for an in-office doctor's appointment, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need to deal with awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/deal. That's 4hims.com/deal for your free online visit. forhims.com/deal.
Tuesdays are the worst. They're all that stands between you and the downhill part of the week. But now they're a lot less worse, because Wing Tuesdays at B-Dubs are buy one, get one free traditional wings. So Monday, you may kick off the week. Wednesday, you may have a cool nickname. Thursday, you might be the almost weekend. But watch your back, because Tuesdays just officially became Wing Tuesdays. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar!
Buy one traditional wings order and get one of equal value free. Participation and promotional details vary by location. Check in with your favorite Buffalo Wild Wings to learn more about this offer.
The College Football Podcast with Herbie and Pollock.
Do you have your playoff here? I mean, do you have your four?
Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, just like half the country except Kevin. Actually, 90% of the country. And I got Utah making it.
You got Utah making it, huh?
I think Utah has a really good chance to go undefeated. Not having Oregon, not having Stanford, playing the physical brand that they play in that league. It's honestly a four-game schedule for them.
Listen and subscribe to the College Football Podcast with Herbie and Pollock wherever you get your podcasts.
C-O-A-C-H. Five letters synonymous with leadership and encouragement. But even more about your success in life. Hear from the coach right here on the Cyclone Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Tonight, starting at 7 o'clock here on the gym, 1600 AM, KGYM.
6:51, if you like baseball, you may want to head over to Veterans Memorial Stadium and take in Game 3 of the Midwest League Western Division Finals. The Colonels and the Clinton Lumber Kings underway. Clinton strikes first. They're up 1-0 and threatening to add more, as Tyler Palm already at 24 pitches on the game, according to Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Winner advances to take on the South Bend Cubs in the Midwest League Championship Series. Game 3, 4, and 5 would be hosted by the Western Division champ. That would be Saturday, Sunday, and Monday of this coming week, just in case the Colonels rally to beat Clinton. They did last night to force this game. Maybe they can do it two nights in a row. Coming up on the program tomorrow, audio from Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes as they get ready to travel west to take on Iowa State. It is Cy-Hawk week. It will be Cy-Hawk week all week long. And as such, we ask you at KGYMRadio.com, is the right team favored in Saturday's showdown? Iowa, a two-point favorite according to the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. Poll questions brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. So we'll have plenty more thoughts on the Cy-Hawk series. Maybe we'll be talking about Noah Fant having a big night for the Denver Broncos. Games underway, the Saints and the Texans underway right now, followed by the Raiders and the Broncos. We'll have that game for you coming up after the sideline show from the Applebee's in Ames on 1600 AM. Speaking of winners, Eric in Vinton taking home tonight's $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub. We'll have another one of those for you tomorrow as well. Big plans tonight?
No, not really.
You're all caught up on your TV watching?
Well, I'm going to go home and watch the late game and listen to it on KGYM radio at the same time.
Company, but man.
A little
like
bit
it.
Of Denver Broncos and Oakland Raiders action.
I like it. I'm heading over to the ballpark tonight. This could be it. Last ball game of the season, one way or the other, for one of these two teams. Enjoy watching both of them. Grew up a fan of Clinton, and obviously I'm a Cedar Rapids guy, so $2 beers tonight at the ballpark, too, may have something to do with that. We'll rejoin you tomorrow. We appreciate you listening to Eastern Iowa's Home for ESPN Radio, KGYM. Local programming returns at 3.